welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning there, Brian.
No!
Well, let's see. We're going to do some home improvement calls coming up.
Cool. Can you improve my home from the dirt lot I'm about to buy up into a house?
What are you doing? You buying some land?
Yeah.
Where are you buying the land?
Remember the other day you said that a lot of people have a lot of plans that involve Adam Carolla?
Yes.
So and Ozzy.
Let me just ask you one question to start this off. Where am I buying the land?
Oh, I see. Oh.
Can I just admit the differences between us? Just crawl in your pocket till I get through this.
All right.
And find a little house that you think is a good investment, and like maybe give me a little the advice I didn't get growing up. I'm a little nervous.
Well,
it's getting real.
I can help in the real estate world if Danny
Scarborough last night about you said. We were talking about you. And I just said, he's all the stuff I don't know. So I said, really, I'm just going to latch onto this guy and he'll get me through it.
Well, Adam's going to be the new Gretchen.
It's a good, good. Let me start loosening
you
up.
You won't like sex with me either.
Good point, though. Good point that we've talked about. Well, 2 points. Yes, I think I told Danny, I think it was off the air, that I am punished for being competent.
Right.
It's like, I always drove a pickup truck. I had to drive a pickup truck because of my work. It's one of the things I really hated about doing construction for a living is having to drive a pickup truck. Obviously, it's nice when you're on a lumber run, but then that weekend when you're on a date, you're picking up somebody with a bench seat and a lumber rack on the back of your car. I mean, it looks like crap.
Plus, friends always know, hey, Adam has a truck.
Yeah.
That's
moving
the point.
Time.
You're punished for that. Also, I'm punished for my sort of knowledge of home improvement and then many things, cars and things like that. So when somebody has to go buy a car, fix a house, or look at a house or whatever, you don't know how many times a month I get calls saying, Hey man, some friend of mine, my little brother's buying a house. He's out in Encino. Could you please swing by and just take a look at it? I'd feel a lot better before he bought it if you'd. So it's not only the people I know, it's the people I know's family members.
But I believe that I have an equitable share in this. I believe it depends on you because I think we are on the evolutionary scale of men from the homunculi on up. I stop a little bit short of Adam. But that's not necessarily bad. I believe. Do you have an enemy? Like somebody you really hate?
No, I have people. I have people. Oh, you mean like so I can use you?
If you had, but not necessarily me. I mean, not say me. But if there was a guy that had offended you or, say, your wife or something deeply enough, that if his leg broke backwards, directly backwards from the knee, so it went like a 90-degree angle up, that would just make you happy. Do you have one of those guys?
I'll tell you, it's a funny story. Yes, I do.
I can't rebuild them, but I can break them.
Well, you could help me. I don't know why I thought of this guy yesterday when we were talking about people. He just wanted to throttle.
Don't say who he is if you're not kidding.
I won't use any names, but there was a guy, this is some years ago, and I used to live up in the hills in a very windy section of hills, sort of under the Hollywood sign where there was no sidewalk and the streets were like 14 feet wide, maybe less, and I'd have to park in front of my house, sort of right around this big corner with a big high wall around it, and I'd suck up against the wall as close as I could get, and then I would open the door. And on 2 occasions, right as I was opening the door and sort of bending over to get something out of my car, I heard a car horn honk with an acceleration, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm about to be plowed into. Somebody's lost control of their car, and my ass is hanging out into the street with the door open, and I'm getting something out of my passenger side. I'm leaning across the car. And the guy just whizzed by me. And it was a guy who lived up the hill. So what he would do is he would be coming right at me, and then just a few feet from me, going 40 miles an hour, just get right on. And I he's like, oh, my God. And he'd just go right past.
That's the guy.
Well, it happened about 2 years later. It was the same thing. And each time I just flip around and just see his car going around the corner, and I sort of saw what kind of car it was. Well, one time about 2 years after that, so it'd been like he did it once, and they did it a year later, and then he did it to my wife.
Okay.
And I, and my wife, the thing that was funny is I was saying to my wife, I feel like when I start talking, people dial it down to about a three. Right. Like I'll go, this guy for no reason, and they'll think, well, you must have done something. Comes flying out of nowhere. Probably wasn't going that fast. Practically rams me in his car. I'm sure he was well on the other side of the street. And leans on the horn for a good 10 count. Let's make it 3 count, and I'm sure he tapped the horn. That's how I think people hear things. But here's the deal. No hyperbole in my story.
Right.
This guy came at me, leaned on the horn, and while I wasn't looking, and he's done it 2 times and totally freaked my ass out. That thing where you pop up and your heart's beating like a rabbit, like, and then you realize
it's too young. But my kids aren't. Have you ever, and I don't know why I'd be under a hood, but I was pretending I was doing something so I didn't look stupid, and your kid beeps the horn or whoever, and he
starts it'll kill you.
Like
you shave 5 years off your life.
Yeah.
I was then in the garage, and for some reason, my wife was parked in the same place on the street, up against the side of the house, door open, doing something, getting something out of her car. All of a sudden, this guy just went whizzing by. I came running out of the garage, and my wife was practically crying. She's like, what? I mean, this guy, he can't fly? And I said, now I'm going to kill him. Now I'm going to kill him. Oh, my God, is this guy lucky I didn't find his old ass. I leapt into my car and did like a Starsky and Hutch thing and just went flying up the street after him. I'm so glad I didn't find him because I probably would have lost my house because he'd done it to me twice.
Right.
And I just thought. And I knew it. I know. And the second he did it to my wife, and the second I saw that look of terror on her face, I just thought, I'm going to effing kill this guy. And I jumped into my car, and I went flying up the hill. But the problem is there's a couple of forks in the road, and I don't know if he went right or he went left. And then there's another fork in the road. I ended up just circling the hill for 10 minutes looking for a car that looked like the back of his car. I thought, I will kill. And I'm so... He's so lucky, and I'm so lucky.
You're
I did
so
not
lucky.
Find this guy too, because I definitely would not be living in that house because I would have punched a hole in his windshield and grabbed
that's
the guy's
really hard.
Collar.
That's hard.
Well, I would have gone through the wind wing. Either way,
you, it's really
he
hard to shake.
Did it now 3 times. He's a guy who lives up in the hills. He's a sort of a neighbor in that he lives up in the hill somewhere above me. He has to pass my house on a daily basis to go to and from work. And there's no side of the story to this. He speeds up, he leans on the horn, and he comes right at you. And it's not like it's the kind of thing where you're parked in the middle of the street and your car's open and you're sitting on your hood drinking out of your commuter mug. It's car pulled up against the side as far as you can get, legal parking, door open, getting something out of the car, and he just comes sailing in. And when your ass is sticking out the door and the door's open and you're on a tight windy street and that horn, you just think you're dying. You think somebody's lost control of their car and they're coming in. He did it to me twice. He did it to my wife once. I want to kill.
Here's your dilemma now with this close of an accurate description. If anything happens to this guy within the next year, they're going to come to me, which is a drag.
Right.
So, but you know what? My dad used to say revenge is a dish best served cold. I got a year. But anyway, aside from that, just so you know, you are lucky you didn't find him. Because let's say something happened to this guy. There'll be 2 people from 2 separate states that never met you before you get to the guy that broke his arm.
Right.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's, in other words, Danny's saying he can help you with certain things, Adam.
Right.
And you can help him with certain things.
But on the undrama side, I'm thinking a condo with a swimming pool and a gym for the kids.
All right. Well, we'll go.
Is a condo a good deal? Is a condo really? It's not a house, but is it okay?
Well, here's the thing about a condo.
I don't want a lawnmower. I don't want anybody working for me anymore. I hate it. I open my door with my wife. There's seamstresses for her dress company. There's lawnmower guys.
Right.
She has assistants. I make all the money. I don't have an assistant.
Here's the thing about
Angie's
a condo.
Helping me.
Condo is, in terms of, my feeling is anything you buy is going to go up in 5 years or 10 years or whatever. If you buy here's my take. If you buy a million-dollar house that's a fixer-upper in a neighborhood that's an up-and-comer, then 10 years from now, it may be worth twice as much, or maybe worth 1.7, or maybe you put some sweat equity into it, maybe the neighborhood's on the rise, so on and so forth. If you buy a condo, then the condo will be worth 1.3, not 1.7. I mean, everything's going to ratchet up. It's just not quite the capacity for huge growth in a condo, but you're never going to lose your money.
But I got a pool guy that comes to my house, and I don't have a pool. I have this retarded jacuzzi big enough for 10 with a flat screen TV that comes up. Guess where I got that, by the way?
Dr. Gadget.
Damn right I did. Well, Snoop Dogg and I have the exact same jacuzzi. 7 people, flat screen TV. But I don't have a pool man if I go to a condo. I don't have a lawn guy. $400 a month in maintenance fees. I lived in one when Gretchen threw me out last time. There's barbecue pits all over the place. They're all manicured.
I got to say, there will be a time when I get into one of those condos and do that condo living. But it just depends. Like, if you're... if you want to play the bongos nude and smoke hash till 4 a.m., probably not the place to do it.
Yeah, I get up at 4 a.m. I don't play bongos.
Other thing is, I'll tell you, for me, one of the biggest condo decisions, are you a car guy? Are you a stuff guy? If you need to head down to the garage to blow off a little steam with your cars on the weekends, if you need to putz around in the wood shop, you know what I mean? You're a crafts hobby wrencher, gearhead kind of guy, then condos are tough because there's no place to park your car, there's no place to work on your car. I mean, you minus the car part.
And I'm okay with that.
And you minus the loud music part, like I'm throwing parties all the time. You eliminate those two things, I'd go condo. Jeremy?
Yes, Adam.
What's happening, my brother?
I just had to call and tell you how freaking excited I am about tonight. I live in Fresno, and I'm going to be at the little pre-party thing you're doing, and it's like, I got married on the 25th of March, and this is like 100 times more exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
It's only 10 times for me more exciting than my marriage.
You two have fun on your honeymoon.
And by that, we mean Adam and Brian.
Yeah. And by the way, you should know that Brian's a middle. I mean a top. I mean whatever it's
going to
take.
Where are you going to Fresno? What are you doing?
Brian, where are we going? Brian and I are going to Fresno after the show.
I was part of this, but it won't be on you. I'm hosting the TV Land Awards tonight and tomorrow, so I can't go. I was planning to go, and I'm really sorry I can't hang with you guys because I could use my guys right now.
We would have a good time. We'll try to carry on without you. But I must say this, you know, Fresno, I know you're feeling pretty excited that Adam Carolla's coming to town. Brian and I go to Fresno every weekend anyway, so it's not...
Because no one thinks to look for you two there.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a companion. What's on your schedule?
Normally we drive to Fresno, and it's a lovely afternoon drive, but we're flying this time.
It's a nice 9 hours. We get to know each other. What is going on
in
Fresno, Brian?
You're going to a listener party at The Blend in Fresno. It's sort of close to Fresno State, and you'll be doing a Carolla's Cuties competition.
Oh.
Yeah.
And a live version, apparently, of What Can Adam Complain About?
Good times. And that's it. That's all that's on the docket?
7 to 9.
All right.
Yeah, that's all that's
blend,
official.
As you called it?
The Blend.
The Blend.
Either Blend or The Blend.
Do I have to do something at 4 o'clock?
You have a meet and greet with VIP, like advertising people.
Ah. Yeah, good times. Hey, Jeremy.
Yep.
Y'all, I'll tell you what. Let's work a code out so I know it's you, all right? You come up to me sometime this evening, and you go, hey, my name's Jeremy, and we spoke earlier this morning on the radio. And I'll go, oh, yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
See, I like this code. Right before the night ends, just go up to Adam and say, hi, I'm Jeremy. Blow me a kiss when you're leaving.
Ah. Oh. Yeah, but don't pause so long in between that and the kiss.
Really? Wait,
I was explaining to my wife how these things go when I'm going to Fresno. The evening will start off just fine, but at some point I'll have that drunken chick who's 4'11" who stands just to my right while I'm trying to talk to a sales guy whose name I can't remember. And I'll see her out of my peripheral vision. She won't say anything and I won't acknowledge her, but after about 10 minutes, eventually I'll look over and down because she's standing so close to both of us and doesn't appear to know either me or the sales guy whose name I can't remember. And then she'll do that thing where she gestures that I need to come down so she can talk to me.
Boy,
come
down.
Because the music's loud, yes.
Yeah,
come on down here. So I will... I don't
do that to be rude. I just can't come up there.
I will head on down, and she'll go, you know, you think you're hot stuff because you're on the radio, but I don't know you're so hot. And I'll look at her and go, thank you. And she'll stand for another uncomfortable five count, and then she'll walk away. That'll happen. Now, here's all I ask. All I ask is that when you do these meet-and-greet things, whenever they do these meet-and-greet things, it's essentially 45 white executive types sitting in a room, and DJ AM is pumping the jams.
Right.
And so it's nothing but super loud techno music. Now, the problem is the sales guys and the managers and the PR guys and all these guys, all the meet-and-greet guys, are talkers. So this is pumped up, but it's pumped up louder than this. You can't hear yourself. And so what it works like is a guy with a mouthful of sushi and who's on his ninth screwdriver. It's like, hey! Hey, Smith! Come here! I want you to meet Herb Adelman! Herb! Herb's from... He's from Puente Hills, Nissan!
Puentes!
He got Danny the Forerunner!
Danny
the Armada!
He's one of my forebears!
He's a Pope! No!
He's a Pope!
Leaning and spinning, he's spinning California roll into your ear.
Yes.
And he smells like that catch tray that's under a bar. He's, I love when you do what can Andy complain about?
Andy!
You know Danny?
Andy!
What kind of guy is Danny off the air? So that, okay, so it's 45 minutes of you getting spat upon in your ear. You can't hear. And then at a certain point, I'll stand up and I'll look around and I'll go, there's 45 white people here, average age 47 and a half.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
I don't see anyone dancing. All I see is people trying to eat, trying to drink, and yelling at each other because this guy's pumped up the jam. Do we have to listen to techno in house music when we're not all tripping on E? You don't see me the pacifier in my mouth, do you?
Speak for yourself.
Nobody's dancing. Nobody likes this music. I know, Brian, you'll be rolling as soon as we leave for the airport. But the point is look, play something. How about you to play some goddamn jazz or something, but let us have a conversation. There you go.
That's nice.
There you go. Just stop pumping the jam.
You want to know the weirdest part of that story for me out of all of that is the 4'11" girl?
Right.
I can have her now. If I wanted the drunk girl.
Oh, you know, she's loaded, too.
But she wouldn't be right. But you know what Gretchen has already started to do? I haven't even been served yet.
Yeah.
She's picking out girls from church that I should marry.
Is that flattering or creepy?
No, it's because she thinks... Remember I told you the paparazzi were following me around?
Yes.
I couldn't figure out why, because that's A-list stuff and I'm B-list guy.
Right.
They don't believe we're breaking up over nothing. They think I did something, and they're trying to catch me.
Well, we need to take a break, but I'd like to...
So Gretchen set me up with chicks.
Continue the chick and setup.
Yeah.
And also... this, and I'll dovetail it into this topic. Speaking of chicks and sex, Brian was speaking openly. Well, he actually wasn't speaking openly. I was speaking openly.
It was, in fact, off the record.
Yeah, Rachel Harris,
so
who's a
radio.
Hot blonde from a sitcom, was in here a few days ago. He'd mentioned that he may have rubbed one out or 400.
It's clearly a joke.
To her. After off the air the day before, I mentioned on the air, and then he got a very creepy email from his mother about it. And I've had creepy conversations with friends and family members, you know, people that were 40 years older than you, friends of my grandmother's and stuff, weird, creepy sexual conversations. Here's the deal with sexual conversations. There are two people you can have sexual conversations with.
Yeah.
Ones you're trying to have sex with, and then ones you think would score you some favor if they found out you did have sex. Like, if you're sitting next to a guy and somebody says, wow, that new receptionist is smoking, and you had sex, well, then you can lean over and go, guess who got her 4 years ago when we're in college.
Dinner.
But,
that's what I always say.
Right.
Dinner.
But... the weird, creepy friend of your grandma's, and the email that Brian's mom sent that he will read next on the Adam Carolla Show. Plus, we will take your calls on the same creepy subject.
Mom!
Who has creeped you out? I mean, a family member, sibling,
I've got a good one.
School teacher.
The creepiest.
Unfortunately, all my family has one.
I will give you a nice one from my at the hands of my grandmother after my grandfather was departed. Next, 866-901-ADAM. Your creepy sex stories next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Bald and gay. Brian's bald and gay. Does his sound effects for very little pay? We all see his homo tendencies. A neat freak, this super geek. A hairless head, no girls in his bed. Bald and gay.
You're all gonna need to shut up!
Bald and gay.
Yes, he is. He's a big fan of Rachel Harris, the blonde chick from all the commercials and Fat Actress, and now...
Well, he went from kind of small fan to big fan, and then back to smaller fan for a while.
In a refractory fan period,
Her show is Notes from the Underbelly.
Notes from the Underbelly is the name of her show.
And what's under your belly? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Mm.
She's adorable.
Yeah, she is.
I have a bit of a crush on her.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Me included.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. Like, I get guy crushes. You know, I think I can see how you could have a crush on that girl.
Yeah.
Clever, cute.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and nice glasses, nice frames. The point is Brian admitted to me after the show the day before she came in.
We were
in,
driving to Fresno.
When she found, we found out she was coming in, I said, be honest, you ever masturbate to her? And he said, yes.
I was clearly joking.
Is that
joking.
A typical conversation between men?
Yes.
No!
Yes.
Please.
Where's the strangest place you've ever masturbated? Who's the ugliest girl you ever masturbated to? You ever masturbated with someone in the next room? Have you ever masturbated in your parents' house?
Have you ever masturbated with your mom waiting on the phone line like Brian's mom is?
But to answer your question, where have you or how have you masturbated between guys
it's
is
common.
Total standard conversation guy.
Well,
now, it should have stopped before our age, but apparently we got retarded around 15.
I don't know what happened. The point is we talked about it while she was here.
Yes.
She was flattered.
Yeah.
You say that.
In a bizarre and sick kind of way.
I'm sure she was.
Brian was embarrassed. I think we have a little clip of that.
Yeah.
But it must be nice, as I was saying to Brian, who, by the way, admitted he'd pleasured himself to you.
You did?
I wish you weren't a liar.
The T-Mobile commercials or what?
I just wish you weren't a liar.
It's that hot
I said to him straight out, I said, have you pleasured yourself to Rachel Harris?
He can't hit enough buttons right now to shut you up.
He was either hanging his head or holding his t-shirt up with his chin. Either way, his head was down. And
can we move forward?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
He made a withdrawal from the Spank Bank.
Well, then you got an email from your mom.
My whole family listens to the show. They're all big fans. And the subject is, ew.
That's the subject line.
That's the subject with four W's. Here's the text of the email. Spank Bank? Question mark? Some good times on the show today, huh? And then it says, ugh, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8 G's, and ugh. It says, ugh, men's room. Well, then a good point. Well, they can't keep calling you gay and then say you need more time in the men's room
that's
over your
true.
Guest.
Mm. That's
yes.
Tell
her you're not from a broken family. Love, Mom.
You've been upgraded to Bri. Bri.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye would be cool, man.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Brian's mom is such a sweet lady. She once wrote me an email when I was having the hard times here after I cried on the air.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote me like a keep your chin up email.
Uh-huh.
That was very sweet.
And then
Champion Meddler.
I saw the PS on the email, which don't throw this paper away. Bri can use it as a bib.
Well, it's got to be uncomfortable.
Trying to lower her carbon footprint.
It's got to be uncomfortable to hear about your son's Spank Bank.
Well, there's a lot of that. I've had these conversations with people. First off, there are just the people that love to address things that are sort of embarrassing and uncomfortable. They just like to know that you know, these are the guys who, if you had a big zit on your forehead, would come in and talk to you about your big zit as if you weren't aware of the big zit on your forehead. Look, if you're walking around the beach and you got a big whitehead on your back, it's up to one of your brothers to come point it out and grab it or get it.
Right.
But if it's on your forehead...
No, you know very little about men, Teresa. You're all shocked by
it. Please, women love that. They're like those monkeys that groom each other. They see a zit on your back. They'll go,
That's a some chick thing. That's not an all chick thing.
All right, but there are half the chicks out there that I feel like I could get back to my house if I went to a bar and went, you know what? I have a huge whitehead on my back. I can't reach it.
I can't reach it, yep.
Please
and they're all about it.
Now, how about we go to my house and we undress and you get at it for me? It is going to explode. You're going to need to wear a welder's mask. Chicks that would get hot and go back to your place
well,
with
Brian's
you.
Brian's been rubbing lard on his back.
Wait, now Brian's brother's on the phone. Brian?
Well,
let's
Hello.
See. Brian, yeah. I mean, Adam, Brian's brother.
There you go.
Sorry there, Brian's brother.
Hey, big fan. Want to say what's up. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, what do you do, Adam?
Contractor.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. You have a gay and, younger brother, and then you're doing the manly art of carpentry.
And what sitcom right. stars do you rub one out to?
hey, Bri, keep on out of this.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
It's confusing to see my name on the screen. I'm not responding to it. What kind of contractor are you?
Landscape and general contracting.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian didn't tell me he had a straight brother.
I know. Adam, are you married?
No, I'm not.
Bald?
You know what? I got the lucky gene.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's got so much hair.
No, he doesn't mean Jags. He means gene, this guy.
Cruel.
He calls him lucky gene.
Lucky gene. So where are you calling from, Adam?
Bay Area.
And is the whole family up in the Bay Area, Brian?
Yeah, mostly.
Pretty much the entire family's in the San Francisco Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
listening on 106.9.
Now, how freaky is it to hear these kinds of emails coming from your mom? And, you know, we always talk about our parents like we're anxious to get them caught up with technology. I don't think it's a good idea. I'm frankly happy that no one in my family can work a computer because then it'd just be a bunch of long-winded emails. And people get bold and brazen with the emails. And you think... guys you work with get brazen when it comes to the emails. How about a family member with a couple glasses of wine that finally decided to sit down at the computer and let you know how they really felt after another uncomfortable Thanksgiving?
Yep, that is.
Do you really want that?
One notch short of the microphone.
Yes.
Because the people that I want to say anything I want to say to, not only can I go as far, and you can too, obviously, as I want, but if there are any real negative repercussions... dude, it was a bit. It's my job. You can't be mad that I said I want to set your family on fire.
So there's weird, thanks, Adam. I'll
okay,
let you,
thank you.
Get back to hauling gravel.
Keep mom away from the computer, everybody.
The thing is, there's a sexual component to this, and then there's just a weird, uncomfortable component to it. Now, I don't bring up uncomfortable things to people that are uncomfortable for them because now I'm uncomfortable. It's like saying, hey, man, I'm going to throw this guy in the pool, except for in the process, he grabs your belt and you both go into the pool.
Right.
And then you're laughing, pointing at him while you're covered with water and your mascara is running down your cheek and you're going, you got thrown in the pool. No, you got thrown in, too. When you have an uncomfortable conversation and you're in the conversation, well, then you're uncomfortable, too, or at least you should be. But some people aren't. I had I was at my for Christ's sake. My grandfather, as I said, the only one anyone liked in the family, he passed away, and a guy picked him up in a Suburban and threw him in the ocean. That's what happened. It cost $180. I never saw him again. No, it's not like we're on the boat throwing the ashes over the open sea or anything. While some guy was playing the hornpipes on a deck down below, he was just gone. But 2 years, 2 years, 2 years later. My grandmother kind of got it together, and she said, you know, we should have a little gathering on his birthday and all raise a toast to him. And it was the only event that happened after my grandfather passed. So I thought, all right, well, better late than never. And we showed up, and one of my grandmother's cheap-ass old friends, and I say cheap-ass because I remember this. Well, I don't want to say ho. I don't want to get thrown off the air.
Yeah,
but the point is
careful.
this old, I guess I can't, she was an old white lady. Old coos.
It's my favorite of your words.
I moved her and her old husband into a condo when I was about 17. I busted my hump like I'm going to have to do with Bonaducci in a few weeks. And they paid me next to nothing, these cheap old bastards. And we're sitting there trying to remember my grandfather. And she taps on my arm. She's a little 80-year-old woman. And she goes, I heard you on the TV a week ago, and you spoke about defecation for 20 minutes.
Did you tell her you were just running slow on time because you had about 40 more good defecation minutes?
Yeah. I said, that's all I gave to defecation?
A tight
20. Wow. Corolla, you're losing it. It used to be 35 at least. So I said, well, look, what show was this that you saw me on? I don't know. That's the beauty of old people. All they know is the embarrassing crap. They don't know anything else, you know. You called me a whore once. When was that? I don't know. Well, where were we? I've never met you before. I don't know where we were. I just know that you called me a whore. It's like, yeah, it must be nice. You get to shout out all this stuff. You have no details. So she was like, you spoke of defecation for 20. I said, where was I? What show was this? What was I on? I don't know. I said, well, look, I may have brought it up, but I guarantee I didn't talk about defecation for 20 minutes. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way on TV. It could have caught up. We could have made a few poo-poo jokes, but then we moved on. Hand to God, 20 minutes you spoke. I said, no, look, it's just impossible that I spoke of defecation for 20 minutes straight on the TV, possibly on the radio, but not on the TV. Are you sure it was on? Yes, it was. Was it MTV? I don't know. But you and then I realized after minute, by the time we got to minute 22 of talking about 20 minutes of defecation, I remembered, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm here to eulogize and remember my grandfather in a fond way. And I just wanted to backhand that old bitch and think, why are you making me uncomfortable? Isn't this uncomfortable for you? Isn't it weird for you to be talking to the grandson whose grandfather passed away and we're having a wake for the old man and you're talking about busting my chops about defecation, you cheap old bag? The hell is that and with people?
The answer to your question is no, it's not. Because
I guess it isn't.
Because they listen in their cars, and you know, I feel kind of the same way they do. When people come up and ask me like outrageously personal stuff, I figure they have a right to know. You know, I go on these TV shows and make fun of celebrities and say they have no right to privacy. And then I said the same thing about me last night. I said, nope, I'll tell you anything you want. I can't be a bitch and back down now, whatever you want. When you open the door to defecation or anything else, people think you're talking to them. When Gretchen and I couldn't get pregnant, I was talking about it ad nauseum, and you'd be in the grocery line, and old women with other people around go, have you tried putting her on their head while you're doing it?
Right.
Hang her off the bed, and you go up behind her,
right,
really loud in stores.
That's a boundary thing.
You've got to open that door.
The person is attempting to help, but they've crossed some boundary. This is just plain unequivocated ball busting done by an 80-year-old woman at my grandfather's funeral.
Forgot about
what
that
could
part.
She have possibly been thinking? I can't imagine.
I don't know, but I was wishing they could swap places. Hey, Grandpa, you got some company in the casket. Or actually the Pacific. Because
right.
That's what they do, just toss them over. Sharks get them. It is uncomfortable. And then another time when my grandmother brought up autoerotic asphyxiation to me.
Like to warn you? Was her heart in the right
little
place?
Little heads up.
Right.
Hey, son, you seem like a depressed loner. I know you're not getting laid. Here's a tip. If you're going to go ahead and put a glad bag over your head while you and Bri attempt to do some mutual action in a hamper, go ahead and cut an air hole in it. It was nice. She gave me that. She gave me a tip about autoerotic asphyxiation. And then the other one that made me almost clutch my heart and fall down on the ground is when, again, after Grandpa passed and we walked through her house, and it doesn't take long. You open the front door, you take one step, you go through the living room, you're in the master bedroom. We were in the one bathroom, and she said, everywhere I look reminds me of him. I look in the closet, I see his overcoat. I look on the desk, I see his papers. I look in the bathroom, I see the water-soluble lube. I was like, good God.
Oh, no.
Did you see a trash can, by the way? Because I'm going to heave, old lady.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I was tearing up.
I was starting
to tear
up.
My family out of my little living room that I'm staying in. And then you did that.
I was starting to tear up after the overcoat and the unfinished manuscript. But then when she got to the lube.
Yes. That is an inappropriate overshare.
Right. Now, a lot of people think, well, she's just liberated. No. She likes it. She likes to make people. There's a certain control, and it's the same one those bitches my wife used to work with who would go up and go, oh, did you listen to the radio show last night? No. No, because anyone associated with me doesn't listen. I tell them, well, I tell them not to, but it's sort of done and done.
Right.
I would tell my family and friends and whatever. I go, hey, I don't want you to listen to... way ahead of you, buddy. Way ahead of you. Way ahead of you. Didn't need the memo on this one. Nope. Don't even... As a matter of fact, your voice doesn't even sound familiar. What do you do, by the way? Are you still swinging an hammer? But the chicks that come up to my wife and say, did you hear what Adam was saying? He was talking about an old stripper he used to go out with, and ooh, it was... What is in it for you? And I'll tell you what's in it. A retarded attempt at control.
Yes.
Yeah. I now have control over this person. Why? Because I'm making them feel uncomfortable, uneasy, bad. I'm making them feel bad, thus I have control. It's the same kind of control that the $7 an hour parking guy tries to get over you when he's telling you you can't go anywhere because you lost your ticket, or the guy who's at the movie theater is getting $7 an hour and wearing a crappy windbreaker when you tell him, hey man, I gotta run out to my car because my girlfriend's cold and she wants her, so if you leave, I can't let you back in. It's that same feeling. It's people that have no control. It's the little people that have no control that are gonna control you now because you're uncomfortable or you're feeling weird. I'm dominating either this conversation, or I'm the $7 an hour guy's not letting you out of the movie theater. You people need to get together in a large Jonestown type environment, drink the Kool-Aid, and put yourselves into the ground. Because if that's what you're getting out of life, you need to eat a bullet.
I used to live that way. Consider yourself lucky. Here's the other side of that. Gretchen said, don't worry, I'll still help you with all your stuff. And she cleaned my messages. And she, one of them was, called Bob, you got work. And one was, Cindy called, she says, I think I'm falling in love with you, is that too soon? Here's her number. And nothing. She didn't care. She didn't
nothing.
Care. Nothing. Wow. Didn't bat an eye. Asked me what I wanted to eat.
She didn't recognize Teresa's voice.
I know, but
your little ruse didn't pay off.
I'm calling myself Cindy now. I told her,
I'm still in love with you and trying to win you back, but I'm not going to be celibate, and I talk a good game. I can't help it if Cindy's falling in love with me just because I need company. Mm. I still want to win you back. She goes, well, you're not going to, so call Cindy.
I, by the way, heard Bonaducci's rap in the clubs. And you want to talk about sweeping a woman off her feet. Wow. That's just an ensemble I threw together, Dan.
Why, thank you.
Misunderstood.
My pants are coming off right now.
GTO, confirmed.
That's not how it works.
how do you
start off easy like that, you get them home, right?
Uh-huh.
But then, once their pants, if you don't do what most men would then do, you put your Adam's apple against their good part, and then you do this.
Wow. I'm a dude, I'm in ecstasy. All right, we need to take a break. Good news, though. Home improvement questions. Your home improvement questions. 866-901-ADAM. I will be answering your very own home improvement questions next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I hear a bad guest a-calling. I bet they've got nothing to say. Mike August booked another phoner. Brings Ace more s*** than his buddy Ray. Who will it be this time? I think he booked his cable guy.
No such luck today. We'll have Joel McHale in studio. We'll have Miss USA, the new Miss USA. Originally, Mike had booked the Miss USA 1961 on the show. Actually, some surviving members
Adam's
of her family.
Hey, if she was a car, she'd rock.
There will be a phoner, but it'll be by the beautiful and funny Sarah Silverman.
Yay!
All righty, home improvement questions, 866-901-ADAM. You call them, I'll answer them.
From the pantheon of morning radio, a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco.
It's like a wall stud in your ceiling.
Something called a tuck trowel.
The bottom of a ceiling joist.
You grind out the mortar.
2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
Okay, now the fun begins.
Catherine?
Yes.
from San Francisco.
Hi. So hey. I have a couple of different questions about, oh, by the way, everybody's great on the show.
Thank you.
A couple of different questions about crown molding. So mm-hmm. I have a small 12 by 10 bedroom. Mm-hmm. I want to put up a small trim, not the big 4-inch, but like it's a 2 1/4. I went and specced out, bought a couple of
feet. Nice to hear a lady calling 4 big for a change.
And by the way, I like how she specced it out.
She specced it out.
Well, I went to the hardware store and I cut like four 1-foot pieces of different trims and pasted them up to see which ones I could live with.
Oh, they love that when the single girls come in and cut a foot off of everything and then bring it home at no charge and hold it up on the wall. You love that. That's where all the money is a hardware store.
They charge you.
Okay.
Pay by the foot.
So you went and did that. Well, a couple things with crown molding. It is a little bit difficult to put up. It's a little bit tricky. The way you can do a corner in the crown molding is two ways. You can either cut it on a miter saw, and when you cut it on a miter saw, that's one of those power sort of chop saws, the ones they use at the frame shop, you turn it upside down. You don't put it on the wall how it sits. You flip it over and do it. You invert it and do it, and you lean it up against the fence or the back part of the miter saw, and you get it to sit just how it would sit if it was on the wall but upside down. Already sounds confusing. The other way you can do it is something called
copping
is what I'm going to do when I see in Fresno tonight, as in cop a feel. This is a coping saw. The way you do it in a coping saw is you cut it, and then you cut the profile of it out. Oh, it's hard to explain.
And then you have coping saw.
Saw is that weird little saw that looks like a coat hanger. You ever see that weird thing that looks real thin and has a big high part, a real skinny little blade, and you can cut around corners and stuff with it?
Huh?
I would say go with the coping. Are you going to paint it?
Right. So this is
Are you going with paint grade or stain grade, as we say in the business?
I'm gonna be painting. So
good.
Because
you can cover your f ups if you paint it. Yes.
So one of the questions I had though was so those were the two types, and I don't have one of the fancy miter. I have a miter box, but I don't have like the nice one where you
can. TSV. Miter box. Just had a carbide tip
stain
blade.
Grade?
Stain grade. Yes.
So, that's right.
We're having them all out here.
Yeah,
go ahead,
flip the mattress. She's going stain grade.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No, you should.
Yes, Catherine. Sorry.
No, it's okay. So I don't have the fancy kind of work because I do have some odd angles apparently. I did buy one of those little angle ruler deals.
Yeah, Catherine. I don't want to discourage you, but this is a tallish order. It's hard to get this stuff right. The other problem is the house is old and the ceiling's not straight and the wall's not straight and there's all kinds of gaps and everything. And when you put it up, it'd be nice to have a nail gun. Hold it in place. Ka-ching. This is something you should probably farm out. I would go ahead and pick the crown molding and then pick a Latin guy to come over and put it up for you.
So that was my second question. So I have a couple of friends that are all different building houses right now with different contractors, and so I've asked a couple of them how much they've spent, and they've spent a crazy amount of money.
Well,
and it seems to me like if somebody knows how to do it, it's like a 2-hour job maybe.
Yeah, but no one wants to show up and get paid $20 an hour, make $40 and ruin a day putting up your crown molding. Find the guy who's the best or the cheapest or both, although it's not the same guy, and pay him to do it. And then you can go ahead and finish it off and paint it. And here's another quick tip that everyone should know about crown molding. Crown molding is nice looking, but the way you really get some mileage out of crown molding is take a piece of 1x3 or something else, take a router, put an edge on it, put it up first, and then put the crown molding on top of that. All of a sudden, it looks very beefy. You can see how it would step out. So instead of just putting the crown molding right against the wall, put a piece of finished wood against the wall. Put like a piece of baseboard against the wall. Then put the crown molding on top of that. It's easy, it's cheap, and your crown molding goes from, to ha-ha.
Wait, I've got a stupid question. Why don't you paint the crown molding? Thank you. Why don't you paint the crown molding before you put it up?
You would paint the crown molding before you put it up, and that's a good point. Thanks. And I didn't want to be confusing, but you wouldn't be able to caulk in the seam where it was a little bit gappy, and you wouldn't be able to fill the nail holes where the guy put it on. So you could pre-paint it and then caulk it in, then fill the nail holes, and don't fill the nail holes with the caulk because caulk will dry and sink in and leave a little divot there. And then you can touch up paint it. All right, let's see. Wants to put in a stripper pole.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
I stripper know pole's how to do this.
All right. Tom?
Yo, this is Tom. I'm from Long Beach. I just bought this fabulous condo right by the ocean. Me and my buddies, we get together for poker about every week, and I want to put a stripper pole right in the middle of that thing.
Right, it's because when one of your buddies wants to get naked, he needs a place to go.
Yeah, actually, one of my buddy's girlfriends is pretty hot, and she's kind of crazy.
So you want to put a stripper pole in your condo?
Yeah.
All right, Danny.
Well, nowadays, I can't believe that I'm getting involved in this, but I happen to know something about this.
All right.
They become very popular because of an exercise thing called the S Factor that movie star chick started.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing now is they're coming in kits. Even I can do this. You know the bicycle rack that you can just twist until it's tall enough to hit the ceiling, and then you can hang two bikes from it?
Yeah.
They essentially have that. You just twist. You find the beam. Mm-hmm. You just twist till it's tall enough, and the stage, this little stage, just clamps around it. There's really almost no tools involved.
So you get a kit, because the way I was going to tell you to do it,
chicks fall from the way I do it.
Yeah.
It comes off.
Eventually. Oh, I see. You rig it.
But that's cool.
Okay.
No.
I thought I was going to have to go to Home Depot and get a bunch of stuff.
Yes, you duct taping a mop handle to your groin and lying on your back is not the way to do it. Bonaducci's been burned one too many times with his personalized stripper pole. Yeah, I would say go on the internet and get a kit. I mean, I could sort of tell you how to do it. It would involve drilling and screwing and...
Well, drilling and screwing, those are two words.
I've heard of this class because you wear an oversized men's white shirt and heels, right, Danny? This strip class?
No, you wear comfortable clothes because it's not supposed to be sexual. It's a workout. It's
okay.
Sheila Kelly.
Okay.
That's her name. And it's an exercise thing, and a lot of these celebrity women do it. I personally think as a real life exercise to tone your body, it's
not
crap.
Good.
It's just one of those fatty
sort of things. Yeah.
But I'm sure you can get something. Because the reality is I don't know of anything that comes in chrome or comes in polished brass. You know, that's a sort of specialty item. Aaron?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
You calling from San Diego?
I am.
What's the question, my brother?
Well,
Danny's coming down. He'll scrape your popcorn ceiling. Is that your question?
Yeah, we just bought a house, and every single room has this popcorn stuff on the ceilings, and I'm wondering if there's an easy way to get it off.
Yeah, there was a big problem in the 70s, which is everyone was super effing high and thought everything was a good idea, even though it looked like hell. And now that we've all sobered up and realized it was a mistake, we don't know what to do with that. All right, I'll be quick because I've answered this before, but I do feel like this is a universal question that almost everyone has. You're not supposed to scrape it because it may have asbestos in it. Everyone's freaked out about asbestos. There's probably none in there. If there is, it may be just trace particles. But either way, not a good idea to put it into the air. So if you want to scrape it off, soak it. Get one of those Hudson sprayers. Get one of those sprayers that has a little hopper on it. You pump it like Brian was doing to Rachel Harris.
All of this almost too exciting to bear.
Then you just spray on that warm concoction of vinegar or whatever it is, a wallpaper stripper stuff, and you soak it. And then as it gets soaked and it gets up, it gets emulsified, you take yourself a little straight, you know, drywall joint compound spatula, and you just scrape it off, and it'll just fall off. So either do it that way, or you skim over it with said joint compound. Those are the two ways to do it. If you and your wife want to do it, I would say soak it with whatever you use to strip wallpaper in hot water, and then just scrape it off. It's not going to hurt you because it's wet, and it won't go airborne that way. Aaron?
All right, appreciate it.
Are you cool?
Yep, answer my question. Thanks, Adam.
All right. I got that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I paid a guy $100 to skim over the popcorn ceiling in my living room. It took a couple hours.
Yeah.
Very easy.
But then you lose a full 3/16 of an inch from the height of your ceiling.
True.
And that is mammoth. Joe?
Hey, Ace Man.
Danny, I know you've never seen a ceiling, but I got to tell you.
What do they look like?
Oh, man.
The popcorn
ones? I've seen them.
Oh,
bitch. But drive. There was a guy at my house. We had the Anheuser-Busch people over at my house for dinner.
Yes, I was there.
Oh, right. Remember the guy that was 6'6"?
Yes, you kept yelling at him.
I did. They actually told him it was so funny. No, I think we got along pretty well.
Bend down. I got to get on your shoulders and yell at this guy from Anheuser-Busch.
Literally, he came in. He did look a little nervous because people really told me, buy it. I don't really care. I just have always made the comment.
6'6 is obnoxious.
And not skinny 6'6", too. All man 6'6".
There should be an island for people over 6'2". Because there's nothing. I who am 6'2", and am normally taller than most people. Once in a while, when Brian Posehn comes in here at all, 6'8", full of belly and tears, and
he—that's Steve Agee.
Oh, Steve Agee, right? When these 6'8" guys come in, and you have to stand next to them. It's uncomfortable.
It's extraneous after 6'2".
As a woman, you feel safe. As a guy, we feel threatened.
You're 6'2". I'm 5'6". Standing next to that guy.
I know, but for you, it's like just standing in a forest of sequoia trees. It doesn't even mean anything to you. For me, I can see them. Their chin is resting on my head.
Oh, I've had this running gag that I say anybody over 6'2" is just showing off, and anybody over 6'4" is doing it just to bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently people believe me. I'm just crazy about all things. I don't need one particular thing. And this guy was a nervous wreck.
He was.
All night. And he's a mountain. He's going to kill me.
And then you asked him to help you move the pool table.
Yeah, and he and I just picked up a pool table. We got the steroid guy and the 6'6" guy.
The consummate host. Hey, come on down and help me move my pool table slight.
Now, who else has got some storage?
Joe does. Anheuser-Busch, good name for TV. Joe?
Hey, what's going on, Ace Man?
Last one of the day, my brother. What is your question?
I got a massive, pretty big dog. He decided to use my walls as chew toys.
Mm-hmm.
Chew toys. That's a big dog.
He's got to sign to bust out the doggy Prozac when the dog is chewing the wall.
Yeah, sounds neurotic.
All right, I'll send you some.
Two other dogs for him to play with. I have a million toys. I mean, I see the problem here.
Oh, right. Boy.
So he chewed up the wall. How big a space?
The biggest one is about 3 foot long and a little under a foot wide.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't know if it's the whole slab I got to replace. I mean, it's a pretty big hole to be patching up, I'd imagine.
Well, we've talked about this one before, too, but again, I'll make it fast. If you have a big hole in your drywall, you cannot patch it. You have to go to the closest stud and cut it half on the stud, meaning your new patch has something to rest on now because you've cut it half on to the nearest stud. You have to go the right, the left, the top, and the bottom and do that. Now, how do you do the drywall? How do you do it when it's already on the wall? How do you cut it, you may ask? Well, you take one of those utility knives and you score it, and then eventually you get a keyhole saw, the world's scariest saw. Right. It's got a point on it. It's a kind of saw that has a real sharp teeth and a pointed end, and you push it into the drywall and you saw through it, actually inside the wall. But here's the big tip, everyone. Cut your patch first. Trace around your patch. Thus, your patch will match. If you cut the hole and then measure it and then try to cut a piece to fit the hole you cut, you'll screw it up and it won't fit. Cut the piece first. Lay it over. Trace around it. Then cut it to fit. Then tape it. Then mud it. Then sand it. Then prime it. Then paint it. Then kill yourself.
Got it?
I'm sorry, the whole thing sounded like O.J. Simpson lawyer's closing speech to me. He said like five different things. If it doesn't fit, you can't quit.
Doesn't fit, you must acquit.
That's what it sounded like to me. I'm going, I don't think I'm learning how to fit stuff. It's a trial.
I've got a question for you, Adam, since possibly you're going to have to help Danny find a place, fix it up, and one day, maybe, I can dream, one day maybe I'll move out of Koreatown. Mm. Do you find it flattering that you have this expertise and people ask you questions or a burden?
I don't think there's anything that you do naturally that you fully appreciate, at least nothing I do that I fully appreciate. You know, once in a while I see people who can really play the bejesus out of the piano or speak three languages, and I go, man, I could never do that, man. Man, it must be great just sitting around on a weekend with a brandy snifter just playing Beethoven, pouring out of your limb. They go, huh?
In a smoking jacket.
Right, because it comes easily.
You get to talk about boobies on the radio. Like, yeah, but so what? Yeah, you play the piano, man. You speak French and Japanese, man. And they go, eh. And then they say whatever Japanese for BFD is. and we move on. So I realize nobody really appreciates it. And then for me, it's become a burden because I feel like I'm being punished because I'm capable.
Well, I'll buy the condo, and then you can just come over and we'll eat at the barbecue.
You speak Japanese. I'll fix it up. We'll take a break. I feel bad for
Gabriel.
Gabriel.
You all have earned your pay right now.
Camarillo. Gabriel.
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Sliding door has trouble?
Yeah, I have a big sliding door to go outside to the backyard. And
bad action, huh?
Yeah.
Off the tracks.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Go to any hardware store. Go to the point where they have all the tchotchkes, the wheels, and the replacement parts. All you guys have bad aluminum sliding doors. Things haven't worked right since the 70s. They make new wheels. They make new bumper stops. They make new everything. Stare at yours. Figure out what's wrong with it. Go to the hardware store. Get the little replacement bearings or rollers or stops or whatever it is and do it up. Right. You can fix it yourself. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, the news. T, what's in it?
Well, the girls from Rutgers were on Oprah yesterday to talk about three little words.
Which are? Oh, here we
go. Nappy-headed hoe.
That's right. And also, the unsexiest men of 2007 have been determined. The unsexiest men. And
so,
I will tell you.
I'm not afraid on that one.
So weird. There's
lists like that anymore. They have the sexiest, the not sexiest.
Oh, I've got another list.
People just want to see the guy. They want to see the big bag of cocaine in my trunk that they think Gretchen is leaving me over. That's why people care about me right now.
I was going to say, there's another list out. Costliest celebrity divorces.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was personal.
Well, let's look at both those next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Fine, I'll leave a message, but this is no less than the fourth time I've called for Mr. Macchio. Tell Ralph to call his brother back. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jack, man, still trying to win that $10,000 for Outbook August. Today, from Ease the Soup, we got Joel McHale, comedian Tom Herrera, and Miss USA Rachel Smith. Hey, if the Jack man plays his cards right, maybe Miss USA will show a little TNA.
Thank you, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, let's see. Where was we? Ah, we were going to do the news, but first, since it is Friday, and since...
And what happens on Friday?
Well, Crank Yankers on MTV2, 10 o'clock, all new episodes. And if you've been listening over the past few weeks, we dig into the Crank Yanker vaults and pull out some oldies but goodies from years gone by. This is my character, Mr. Burcham. Oh, I barely remember this one, but I think I'm calling about a neighborhood watch. Maybe I've just moved into a new neighborhood, and it goes a little something like this.
Support services, this is Courtney.
Hi. You involved with the neighborhood watch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic. My name's Burcham. I'm moving to the Wichita area in just a couple of weeks, and I want to get involved with some community policing.
You know the address?
I don't have it in front of me. My wife has that information, you know. That's a lady's work.
Right.
What a man does is police.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
I'm a cop, and our neighborhood watch officer's a cop, too. She's a girl.
Well, you broads are going to have to get in the back of the squad car when Burcham rolls to town, I'll tell you that right now, because I do the driving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You remember T.J. Hooker?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't see Heather Locklear driving the rig, did you? No, TJ was behind the wheel. And you didn't see Heather Locklear sliding over the hood, did you? Or dragging down perps. TJ did the real policing. You guys can pose as prostitutes, and I'll drive the rig.
All right.
You're a lady, right?
Yeah.
And you're a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Do they give you a gun?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness. I could understand some pepper spray, maybe a baton or something.
Where am I gonna do pepper spray?
Well, you listen, little lady, that gun's dangerous. It's like a weapon.
Yeah, that's what I have it for.
I mean, aren't they scared you're going to shoot yourself in the foot?
I think the last person to shoot himself in the foot was a guy.
Let me tell you something. When I was in NAM, we didn't have no ladies but comfort ladies. That's
really
all we had. That's all they got. You know, you just do this. They give you a rub down. They get you some tea.
We don't have any of those here.
All right, let me just explain something. I don't want that neighborhood watch business where I walk around with a walkie-talkie, and if I see something suspicious, I phone somebody.
No.
No way. I'm going in through the front door. I see something going down. I see, for instance, a husband committing sodomy on his wife or something. I'm right through the front door. Guns a-blazing. I take no names. Shoot first and ask questions later. That's always been my policy.
Alrighty, cowboy. We'll just go ahead and call up the patrol north and see your community policeman officer.
I don't play by the book either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't even play by the rules. I'm such an outlaw, I don't even play by my own rules.
Okay.
You fall in love with me?
Not quite.
You're a single lady?
No.
No, you got a man?
Yeah.
You tell that so-called man you're married to meet me out on the edge of town at sundown. We'll see who comes back.
Okay.
All right there, Mom.
Bye.
I forgot about that one.
A, very funny. B, tiny bit horrifying that I actually say at least two of those things.
Which two?
Honest to God?
Yeah.
If a date's going really well, first date, and there's a silence, I go, and I go, falling in love with me? And if I had the balls to say it, it's because 90% of the time they're going to go, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I move 1,000 miles an hour, but then you're with a girl that says that on the first date, and then you got to go, well, what you going to stick in the neck with scissors?
Yeah, you want her to say yes.
But
on the other
like
hand,
that.
You don't want her to
right.
say yes. T.
Yes.
What's going on in the news?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Well, CBS Radio fell out of love with Don Imus.
Mm.
Yesterday, they dropped the axe on his radio show. That's right. Why? Because he called members of the Rutgers women's basketball team
nappy-headed hoe.
Thank you. Now, that was the voice of Oprah Winfrey. Yesterday, she had some of the women from the Rutgers women's basketball team on her show. She spoke to them via satellite.
I just had a bizarre
yes?
flash. I do this oftentimes. If after the game, after Tennessee had beaten Rutgers by
right.
double-digit numbers, and somebody had stopped one of the Tennessee players while they were celebrating on the court, cutting the nut down, and said, a week and a half from now, one of you two teams is going to be on Oprah talking about your experiences. Oh. And they said, but it's not going to be you guys that are cutting
right.
down the net and celebrating and hoisting the trophy over your head.
Right.
It's going to be the team you beat by double-digit numbers. The person would have just looked at you and their eyes would have spun like pinwheels. Like, why could they? How could they possibly? What is going on?
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, Ed, Brian, you'll know this. Isn't the coach of Tennessee one of the winningest coaches
yes.
in NCAA?
Pat, that Pat Summitt.
Right.
Yes. Legendary.
Right. Legendary coach. The coach was not on. That coach was
Pat,
not on Oprah.
What a shocking name for a woman's basketball coach.
The yeah, Rutgers coach. The Rutgers
she was
coach.
Hanging out with her friend Terry.
Rutgers coach was on Oprah, Coach Vivian Stringer, and so were her players. And Oprah asked them, specifically, she asked a player named Kia how it felt to have been called something so derogatory.
When it was first told to me, I was shocked. I was like, exactly what I said in the interview. Unless Ho was given a new definition, then that's not who I am. That's not part of my characteristics or anything else. So of the sort, I was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rutgers coach went on to point out that those players are actually going to become some of our nation's leaders.
In gym class.
Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I bet there was
in your presence, you have teacher doctors, a pharmacist, you have musical prodigies, you have valedictorians, and as I've also said, Girl Scouts, you know, past Girl Scouts, and young women who will
future
be
Girl Scouts.
Some of our nation's leaders.
Like to become a Brownie one day?
I gotta tell you, though,
God willing.
Nothing, when she, I wasn't paying any attention at all until she said, pharmacists. Nothing wrong like a girl pharmacist if you can win her over.
The well, couple thoughts. One is offending a team is essentially offending a group, and the group is multi-ethnic, although
yeah.
we're sure he was talking about the black members
right.
of the team. But he said the team. It seems to me like if you pull somebody's name out and you attack that person, it's like when Kia mentioned 4 minutes earlier that she felt like she'd been attacked or
right.
she felt like, but it wasn't she, it was the group.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? It's like if somebody said, Adam Carolla sucks and is a pedophile, I'd be pissed. But if they said morning show jocks.
Right.
Or LA morning show or Fresno morning show or whatever it is, if I got lumped in a group, now this is my group. And then maybe they said everyone who works in that building is an a-hole. But it's still, you really got to get, you have to get to me as an individual in order for me to get that outraged about it. If it's a team or a group, if somebody said the North Hollywood football team of 1991 sucked, I'd say, yes, they did. I was good, but yes, we did suck. And I would only be so offended if they said Corolla sucked on that 81 team, I would then be offended. So it's interesting that you go after a group, and then maybe it was the bigger group, which is all women of color, that he got in trouble for. And my second point is, when did Democrats turn into Republicans? Because it seemed to me a few years back, it was the Democrats that were backing the Jews in Israel,
right,
and not blaming the Jews in Israel. And it was the Democrats that were out protesting for free speech. It, when somebody decided to burn a flag 10 years ago, it was all the Democrats that said, hey, this guy has the right to express himself. You don't like it. I don't like it. We disagree. But I don't want to live in the kind of country. These were the Democrats. What happened to the Democrats? When are the Democrats going after free speech? And people say, well, this isn't a Democrat, right? Bull. It is. It is broken down along party lines. Everyone who is speaking out vehemently against what Don Imus did is a Democrat, or most all of them. When did the Democrats get, when did they turn the corner and go against free speech? I thought these were the people that were the champion of free speech. And people go, well, this isn't free speech, this is hate speech. Well, burning the flag isn't exactly the greatest gesture to do in your own country, but it was the Democrats who supported people's right to do that. What happened to you guys? When did you turn?
Yeah, when Larry Flint wore the American flag as a diaper, I think he was sending out a message right there of hate, you know?
And it was the Republicans that wanted him strung up by his toes, and the Democrats that said, we disagree. We don't agree with what he's saying or what he's doing. We all vehemently disagree with it, but he has the right in this country to whatever. Yeah. What happened to that, Democrat? Do you guys just pick and choose?
Well, the independent shot him in the chest.
So if a guy says something that's racially insensitive, then we have to shut his business down. But if that same guy wanted to burn an American flag during a show, you would be standing arm in arm with the ACLU in front of his building protecting it.
Yes.
What is that, hypocrites? What's up?
Free speech has always had that double edge to it. And it's nice when it's something you agree with, and it's difficult when it's something you find, offensive and derogatory. But free speech is free speech.
Focus on the free speech and what happened to the Jews.
What did we do wrong? Now, Oprah, who you know that I love, can be a bit of a blowhard, as you've said. And when she was signing off and saying goodbye to the coach and the women of Rutgers, she quoted another blowhard. So philosophically, I asked the question, what happens when a blowhard quotes another blowhard? I'm going to play it for you and see if your head explodes.
Well, I say again, I want to borrow a line from Maya Angelou, who is a personal mentor of mine, and I know you all also feel the same way about her.
Sure.
And she has said this many times, and I say this to you on behalf of myself and every woman that I know. You make me proud to spell my name WOMAN.
So slow.
Did you have to sound
spells
it
her
out?
Name woman?
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
Oh, my God.
Well, Don,
Adam,
you're good to be here.
Wait, Maya.
I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
One of Maya's best poems.
That would be Clash of the Blowhards. I'd like to get those two into the blowhard octagon to see who came out.
Well, as if Don Imus isn't already down enough, he made the list, the unsexiest men of 2007.
Now, was he a late addition?
Nope.
Was it awarded posthumously?
No, he's actually still alive.
There's a shocker.
So Phoenix.com has come out with this list of the unsexiest men, two radio personalities in the top six. I'm wrong. Stern. It's Howard K. Stern, so it's not the radio guy. Number five. Don Imus at number six. Oh, this is sad. Sanjaya Malakar at number seven. He's just a child.
Do you want to be the number one unsexiest, or would it be better to be lower?
100. You probably
better be 100.
Yeah. You don't want to be the top.
No. Well, you don't want to be number three. You want to be either number one or number one on the list.
I'll take number one every time.
Well, number four is Karl Rove.
Well, hold on. Sanjaya?
Sanjaya's number seven.
Well, someone's going to have to tap him on the shoulder, tell him to climb off of your daughter, and explain to him that he's made that list. Because, look, if everyone under the age of 21 wants to hop in bed with you, so be it.
Exactly. I don't think he's crying that he's on this list. Karl Rove, if he could cry, might cry that he made it to number four.
Yeah, tear ducts, yes.
Flava Flav at number three.
You're number three?
Yes. And the guy from Borat, Ken Davidian, who was in here, he's number two. I find him very charming. Number one, Donald Trump.
Oh.
Now, with some honorable mentions later in the 100.
Smoking sucks.
Mark Anthony.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Finally.
Thought you'd like that. Kevin Federline, James Gandolfini, Alan Combs, and Kim Jong-il. And probably my favorite on the list of 100 unsexiest men, Ann Coulter.
Very funny.
And
nice.
another guest who's come in here, this is unfair, at number 8, celebrity blogger Perez Hilton, made number 8.
Mm. Oh, and this makes you mad, and I don't want to get on one of his lists. I don't know what that guy looks like still.
Does he taste like champagne?
He's a fine-looking man.
I don't know how to use computers to find that guy.
He's been in here. It's nothing wrong with Perez.
Yeah, just picture a guy with kissing potion, wearing Bobby Trendy's clothes and pink hair. And you've
like
got
that
Perez
mug.
Hilton.
I'm good with that.
That's so ghetto.
There's another basketball player in the news, and that is Michael Jordan. He is making news because his divorce may be the costliest celebrity divorce ever. This according to Forbes magazine. Now, of course, he is still estranged from his wife, Juanita. That divorce hasn't gone down yet, but they're estimating it's going to cost Michael Jordan more than $150 million to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be asking yourself, well, who currently has the most expensive divorce on record?
Neil Diamond?
Yes! How weird is that? Neil Diamond had to pay $150.
Spielberg over, what's his face?
Amy Irving. Yeah. Well done.
I love Neil Diamond. I'm a huge fan.
Neil Diamond paid $150 million to free himself from Marsha Murphy. Spielberg paid $100 million to free himself from Amy Irving. Harrison Ford, his divorce, $85 million. Kevin Costner, $80 million. Paul McCartney, possibly more than $60 million. That one's still pending. Uh-huh. James Cameron, remember when he divorced Linda Hamilton?
Yeah. Yes.
That was $50 million.
I'm surprised you didn't hit Stern yet, actually. I read that it was $80 million.
Stern is not on Forbes' top 10 list of costliest divorces.
That's
Does
weird.
This make you feel any better?
No, you know what? I think they said he had to split his $80 million fortune, making him only $40 million, because he hadn't done the big five.
Shouldn't there just be a ceiling? I mean, you know when...
Yes, if and you ever fall on chicks that want your money.
You ever file on the roof of the house? Do you ever, if you ever file for unemployment, there's a ceiling. It's like, well, if your last job paid you $300 a week, you get this much, and they paid you $500 a week, you get this much. But if you made $50,000 a week, you still just get as much as the guy who made $700 a week, because there's a maximum whatever.
Yeah, $420 in California.
I never understood the lifestyle part, the part where you must maintain this incredibly unrealistic lifestyle. And for those who aren't aware of some of the numbers, I mean, there are people that look you straight in the eye and go, it costs me $175,000 a month to live. That's how much it costs.
Dude, there was this one in the paper the other day. The lady said it took her $30,000 a month for hair and makeup.
Right.
Wow.
That was Perez Hilton, by the way. We're speaking of her. The point is, entitled to maintain a lifestyle that you didn't create for yourself? That doesn't make sense to me.
I think the argument is that, in some cases, the wives helped to earn the money by being part of a team.
I think that's pretty good, I think that's an argument, but I think it's one that can be made or can be disproved.
Right.
I mean, my wife did not help me make any money. And as far as these people do, the people do that part where it's like, well, she didn't actually go ahead and write the man show or come up with this idea or that idea, but she was your inspiration. Well, in that case, my dog, Molly, deserves a lot, too.
She's your muse.
You know what I did is...
Talking about Molly?
Yeah.
All the shows I wrote or Gretchen came up with, she's the executive producer. That's what it says right there in big old letters. So if I wanted to be a jerk, I'd say she's produced 2 hit shows. She can make her own dough.
Yeah.
The fact is, nobody in this one wants to be a jerk. Everybody wants to go, okay, I really like you, bye.
Again, if Harrison Ford's wife is reading the script for Star Wars and saying, you definitely have to take this role, it's going to change your life, as a matter of fact, let's run some lines, that's one thing. Most of these women are just hanging out, or guys in a lot of cases, Kevin Federline, whatever it is, they're just hanging out doing their own thing. They're not. And that argument where, they made it all possible because they looked after the kids while I went off and shot Star Wars in Canada. All right, good. Here's $10 an hour for that 3 months. Right. Now let's move on. I mean, can't we just break it down? Can't we just work it out? It's insane that somebody who didn't do anything or who did very little is going to get half of what someone who did a lot did just because they're in proximity of this person many years before they made the money.
Adam.
Yes.
I'd just like to say this seems really fair to me now that Gretchen's lawyer tapes the show. I just would like to say again, this seems completely fair now that Gretchen's lawyer tapes the show.
And if you're listening, Mr. Lawyer, I want you to know for the record, I did not see Danny light a cigarette with a $100 bill out in the parking structure on the way in.
Neither did I. Neither did I. Now, in closing, you know this Joe Francis guy, he's been in here.
Yeah, sure.
He created the Girls Gone Wild videos, and you've probably heard he got in trouble with the law. He was charged with tax evasion. He was in jail. Well, now he's gotten in more trouble from inside the jail.
Hmm.
Yeah, karma catching up with him. He got caught with pills in his Florida jail cell on Wednesday night because he offered a guard a $100 bribe to get him some water to take the pills. And instead of the guard getting him the water for the $100, the guard busted him. He had anti-anxiety medication, and he had a sleeping pill called Lunesta, and he had $700 in cash. You're not supposed to have any of these things in jail. And he got them because this guy, the president of Mantra Films, which produces Girls Gone Wild DVDs, slipped them to him during a visit. So now that guy's also in jail.
Wow.
Do you have an aspirin on you?
Why?
I can take a handful of pills without any water. What kind of punk junkie is this guy?
$100 and these aren't you
and
know multivitamins,
you know,
or liver tablets.
He's become the king.
Mm-hmm.
He really expects. He's the princess in the pea.
Mm-hmm. Ah, he can't deal with the discomfort of swallowing a jagged pill.
He just expects it. Yeah, you're in jail and you've got drugs and you're going to ask the guard to help you out.
Mm.
You insert them rectally if you need to. You don't ask the guard for a glass of water.
Slow down, I'm writing.
Insert rectally.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
You want to get high in the joint, you talk to me.
The more you know. All right, that's it. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, speaking of news, good news. Rachel Smith, Miss Universe.
Miss USA. By the way, she's
from... Yeah, I know.
She's competing in Miss Universe.
She's just competing in Miss... That's why I paused. I thought, well, but it's right here on the card.
She's from Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, the team that won the NCAA, yes?
I believe I had a very nice long talk with this young lady not too long ago.
Yes. Miss USA heading toward Miss Universe, I imagine, representing the U.S. of A. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to her next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Miss USA 2007 is Tennessee!
And now Tennessee, Miss USA Rachel Smith is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, there's some women that look great on TV and then you see them in real life and you go, didn't know she'd be that short. But not Rachel.
Not me.
Rachel Smith is tall and beautiful
and a
very rare exception and somebody that looks even better in person.
Rachel was one of the women that when we met recently at the Hard Rock Cafe, was one of the women that insisted on scooting down to take a picture next to me. So I have to look at them and go, I know I'm short. You can stand up. I'm aware of this. You're very polite, but please stand back up.
Danny, you normally travel with a milk crate for these situations, right? What happened? I told you to bring the milk crate.
Well, in my world, we call it a half apple. But still, you know, I carry it and I try to make it look like a suitcase. So what can I do?
Danny's the only guy dragging a half apple, a high chair, and a syringe filled with testosterone across the dance floor.
Hey, remember, who was the girl, though, the blonde girl that was like 6'2"?
Oh,
do you remember her?
Miss Iowa.
Oh, my God. She was gigantic.
She was not hurting for height. But I'm 5'11 and a half, but she's definitely got a couple of
inches. But she lost. Her self-esteem is at all-time low.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Usually when you watch a pageant, you can't really tell who's going to win. Rachel had this thing from the get-go. There wasn't even anybody close to her. Oh, thank you.
Well, Teresa, as the ass-kiss train rolls along.
I love her.
Said yesterday, and then as if her love couldn't have gotten any deeper, she said, she interned for Oprah.
That's right.
She's the very proudly.
She's not just exquisite looking. She's a smart woman who's worked for Oprah and went to South Africa to volunteer with the girls. I did. So This past year has just been a whirlwind for me. I did intern there from January to August of 2006 at Harpo Production.
Well, I was confident I'd be the person hitting on her, not you.
No, I just admire her. And then I graduated from college in December, Belmont University, actually, Nashville, and graduated there magna cum laude with a degree in journalism. See, that's why I love her. So,
See, here would be the problem with us.
Uh-oh.
Here's the thing. You have to assess your number.
Right.
Whatever it is, maybe you're 4, maybe you're 7. Everyone has a number. Let's not be naive. You have a number. You take how much you make and what you look like and how tall you are. For women, it's a different set of criteria.
Right.
But for guys, it's different than that. But either way, everyone has a number. And here's what you'd like to do. You would like to get with someone who's a digit up. And a half up.
You want to date up.
But not 4 digits, not 5 digits, because that'll be great for about a year and a half, but eventually some 9 is going to roll around and steal your high digit. If you're a 4.5, you don't want to be with a 9. It's not going to last. You're a 10+.
Oh, you're too kind, Adam.
I've dropped down into the high 6s.
Well, Adam, can you accurately assess your own number?
Yes, what would your number be, Adam?
Well, see, as a guy...
Let's hear it.
Well, let's hear what you have to say, and then I'll tell you if I believe you're right or wrong with your with the reasons you have your number.
A guy factors in, and not in this order either. It is your physical appearance. It is what you do. Not what you make, what you do.
Right.
Now, there are jobs where you know, hey, this guy owns his own Fortune 500 company, so thus he must be rich. But women like what guys do.
Ambition.
They like ambition.
And success.
Yeah, and
success,
they like a guy who's a sort of self-motivator
Driven.
All that. Yeah. Sense of humor is a good one that women always talk about, but they rarely look into. And the last one is this, that sort of je ne sais quoi, that thing that's that intangible, the thing you can't put your finger on. Is the guy attractive? Does
just
he have
that
thing?
Just the guy can say je ne sais quoi gives him a higher number in my book.
For sure.
Yeah, and I don't mean attractive. I mean, can he attract women just
charisma.
By talking to them? Charisma, the sort of unspoken whatever. Those are probably the 4 things a guy needs.
So, what's your number?
And I will base my number on how effectively you can apply it in society.
Okay.
Can you go out, find an attractive opposite sex person, and go successfully get their number and
number.
Date them?
Well, even our guest is bored with you.
I'm going to give myself a 8.3.
Okay. That's what I was giving you, Nate. That was perfectly reasonable.
Okay. Now, what are our criteria? You just listed the male criteria. What are the female?
That you'll say yes, and you're a 10.
Female.
Like in a beauty
this
pageant.
This is amazing.
In a beauty pageant, they have the bathing suit, and you have to be interviewed, and you have to walk in an evening gown.
Female, the physical breaks
down.
You have
to walk?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Female breaks down to 2. In the looks department.
Bobby!
Guys just good looking. Women have face and body. It's that important. Guys
okay,
will
so
break down
the
face and the body.
Right.
Beautiful face, bad body, or vice versa, or both in the case of our guest Rachel Smith, Miss USA. And then there is what kind of person you are. Like, are you going to give us a hard time? Are you a hassle? It's not so much about what you're doing. It's about what you're going to do to us.
Yeah.
Can we breathe? Can we operate? If we hook up with you, are we ever going to be able to go out with our buddies again?
Gotcha.
Are we ever going to be able to travel without checking in every 10 minutes? How much are you affecting us? And how much are you behind us or supporting us? I mean, it's nice to have someone who's smart. It's nice to have someone who's a go-getter. It's nice to have someone who's making money. But big picture... We want to be left alone. We want
to
get into a relationship.
When it comes down to it.
Here's what I want to do. Baby, it's me and you forever. Now go to the other side of the house. I'm watching TiVo.
Rachel, this is enlightening, isn't it?
It is.
Do you have a man?
I do have a man.
Me too.
Now, on those 4 things that Adam talked about, and what does this guy do, and is he funny?
Oh, yeah, he's a hoot, and he's attractive. He's tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 6'4", 6'5". Mm. He's athletic, and he's in law school.
Ah.
So.
I hate him.
And you, me too. And you met this Renaissance man when you were in college?
I did. His last semester in college. We went to undergrad together at Belmont.
Mm-hmm. And now your travels are going to take you apart.
Well, we've already been apart. It's been primarily a long-distance relationship.
And please don't take this wrong, but you know how cool it would be? Because Adam said some things that I disagree with in certain areas. But one of them would be, what a cool notch on a guy's belt to cheat on Miss USA.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah. My queen of the world, the prettiest girl in America, was out of town, so I cheated on her.
Yeah, well, if he does, he gets the boot. Well, but
if you find out. Yep. I was going the other direction,
yeah,
Rachel, which
is... Oh, he's loving it. He's getting called Mr. USA and all this.
Well, speaking of calls, though, I know you don't like to talk about it, but there's always some flaky publicist who's calling you representing a celebrity male or two, wants to know if you're single, wants to take you out. People have no idea how lecherous, or maybe they do, but they don't even know. Not only are people leches in this town, but they're cowards. There's a bunch of single guys out there that have their publicists call. Not themselves. Their publicist will call the publicist, your publicist, and want to go out to lunch. Any celebrity guys coming out of the woodwork?
No.
Really?
How did you like meeting
Let me be the first.
How did you like meeting Donald Trump? It was very nice, and he...
I wish you weren't a liar.
Thanks. Appreciate that, okay?
I just wish you weren't a liar.
But, you know, he really is a genuine guy. He's got a great sense of humor, and he really does.
He has credibility.
He does. I like him a lot, and I'm glad to call him my boss.
So. I know a beanless celebrity that is short and just lost half his money. Interested?
Danny's going through a divorce, Rachel.
I've heard.
Actually, I think I'm not losing half my money. I think I'm shorter.
And he's upgrading himself to B as well. Rachel.
By the way, Rachel's going to be the new face of Why Am I? The jeans.
I am. Yeah, I'm doing an international campaign for them, so I'm excited to be seeing myself larger than life in Times Square.
6 foot and beautiful. And now to current events and politics. This whole, you're mixed racially, right?
I am. My father's black. My mom's white.
How many times have I said genetic diversity? It makes for the, it's the True. Best genes.
I love it. And I feel like I have really the best of both worlds in a sense of tolerance and understanding for both cultures because of that.
Yeah.
You know, lack that.
You don't need tolerance for white people, though. Screw them.
No, but I feel like there's still such ignorance about both cultures. And, you know, I don't really identify myself with one more so than the other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a benefit.
Well, what about the recent situation with Imus? Do you have any thoughts about that? Would you like to see him fired? Do you like to see him disciplined?
I think he really put himself in just a terrible situation. And he said it was a joke. Mm-hmm. And it was a terrible joke, I think.
It wasn't funny. It's weird when you call something a joke that wasn't really a joke.
No, it's
trying to be provocative, I think.
What gives him the right to call it a joke when it's not a joke? There's no punchline. Right. There's no setup. Jokes have a structure.
Yeah.
They're built.
Mm-hmm.
What he gets to call it a joke because it was a sentence said in a show that is called comedy. Right. If I looked at Adam right now or you or just said something foul and mean...
Mm-hmm.
I could still call it a joke because it happened under these circumstances. There was no joke there.
No.
It was just a poor sentence.
Well, and it's just, why did these girls deserve to be called what he called them?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think, I've said many horrible things about many horrible peoples and groups and cultures and even whole islands when I was thrown off the island of Hawaii.
That's right.
Saying those folks weren't the best and the brightest we had.
And, I can't believe you've never been deported, but it's close. One radio show and two people that have been deported.
I told everyone, close your eyes and think about all the great Hawaiian inventors over the years.
Oh, my God.
But the point is this.
Oh, Lord.
I said for you to do it. I'm not being controversial. No. You think of it, and if you can't think of one, then that makes you a racist, not me. The point is this. I didn't mean anything. I don't care about Hawaiians. I'm sure he doesn't give a rat's ass about those women, and maybe that's the point, but I don't think he cares about anything he talks about. Most people who have to kill 4 hours every day on the radio don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should have pulled him off the air. I think maybe we should have pulled him off the air just because his best years were probably in his rearview mirror. And I also wonder if CBS didn't know that as well. I sometimes suspect when a player is beyond his prime. It's easy to cut him from the team.
True that, Pete.
But when a guy is just coming off a Pro Bowl season, the coach seems to look the other way. I mean, Terrell Owens gets chance after chance after chance. Right. 3 years from now, when he slowed down a couple tenths in the 40 and he's dropped a few balls, all of a sudden we'll get intolerant.
Yes, Don Imus is called a shock jock, and that's just because they have to defibrillate him every morning.
With the paddles.
But the fact of the matter is you cannot deny the revenue. The man generated a fortune.
He did until all the advertisers dropped. Right. You know, and when if he's past his prime, if advertisers aren't there anymore, and this is just one more comment he's made, you know, on a long list. It's just kind of like
But the advertisers have only not been there for the last 72 hours. He literally was generating $60 million a year.
Yeah.
So I don't care how bad he sucks, how old he is. Nobody wanted to let him go because he's past his prime as long as he's generating that kind of cash. Because Adam pointed out, he was part of your life. You grew up with this cat. You just didn't change the channel. Mm-hmm. I don't think he said an important thing, or even anything, in the last several years. But when you're generating that kind of dough, you don't dump that character unless you have to.
Well, he's literally going back to the ranch and is going to roll on a bed of money for the next 10 years, and then he won't be with us anymore. Look.
You give him 10 years?
All right. Yeah, you may be right.
Day.
Rachel Smith, born in Panama.
That's right. My family, they were in the Army. So I was born at an Army hospital there in Panama, Gorgas Army Community Hospital, and we moved to Tennessee when I was like four months old or so.
Both your folks are enlisted?
They were.
Or they were enlisted?
They were. My father was, he retired in Tennessee. My mom is no longer active duty, but she continues to work at the hospital at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Now, don't be modest. Is your mom hot, too?
I think my mom's adorable. She's about 5'5". Mm-hmm. I mean, I, to be honest, I don't really look like either one of my parents. And growing up, people would ask me, are you adopted? And I'd say, Mom, is there something you haven't told me yet? Come on.
Your look is not a typical sort of biracial look. It looks almost, I don't know, looks a little Latin or
Asian
or something.
Are you Latin?
What do people think you are?
Everything. Which, it's fine. I guess I have that marketability to be
everyone can relate because you look like many different cultures.
Yeah,
and then the but then the last name of Smith, which
Rachel, a lot of these pageant girls lately have had some skeletons in their closet. Is anything going to come out about you?
No.
Right.
Well, this interview's over.
The lesbian affairs with other pageant girls?
No, not here. I hate to disappoint.
I took a stand that I thought that because Tara allegedly took drugs with other naked women, that she should be allowed to run again as queen.
Last Miss USA.
If you're going to represent this country, this is how we roll. And that's how I just thought she should get another chance. Repeal the 23rd Amendment, let her run again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because it's hard for most beautiful women to get past the age of 18 or 20 without having a skeleton or two, because your beauty attracts guys like Moz, those guys bring cameras, and the next thing you know, there's trouble on the internet. I mean, being beautiful is a form of celebrity, and it's hard not to get into trouble when you're 19 and the paparazzi's following you around. In this case, it's high school and college boys. But there is a form. Teresa,
yes,
you know about the celebrity that beauty brings. I mean, that's what it's like. If you're the hottest chick in your high school, you are then the celebrity of that high school.
I'm thinking, Rachel, in high school, everybody in your town knew who you were.
Well, I mean, I was student body president my senior year, but I was kind of... dorky. I didn't have one specific group of friends. I just kind of floated around and hung out with everybody.
Please do not say you couldn't find a date for the prom, though. Teresa will kill herself.
I had a date.
You were awkward and gangly.
Could you do me a favor? It's kind of a social experiment. I'd like you to look over at my very good friend, Brian, who I really like. And then I'd like you to look back at me and tell me how dorky you were in high school. Those straight face.
No, I don't mean dorky, but I was just was involved.
Studious.
That's a better word. That's a better word.
Adam, did I oversell her?
No, this is tall, this is beautiful, this is articulate.
Smart, I like.
Thank
smart
you.
And,
I really like
down
smart.
To earth.
And a good person. I mean, she volunteered in South Africa to help the girls.
Smart
it was an incredible
By the way, if I'm in South Africa and Rachel Smith shows up, I gotta just kiss the ground and then throw my arms up to the heaven, like, because if I was an impoverished villager, I'd be very bitter. Like, I live in a mansion and drive an Aston Martin and I do nothing but complain. If I was an impoverished villager, I'd be like, oh, good Christ. Oh, this rice sucks. Oh, it's so hot. Can we get some air in this place? There's not even a swamp cooler in my hut. Gosh. This blows sleeping on dirt. And then they'd go, well, good news. We have some volunteers. Oh, great. Another fat lesbian. This should be fantastic. Come on, baby. Save the world. This is going to be great seeing you trounce around here in your Birkins. Holy Christ, yeah. Who's this?
The flip side of that, of course, is you go over there to do some good and to help out, and then you run to her and you look and you think, these people are doing fine.
Yeah. I mean,
they need help from me.
No. Were there any guys sent on your mission over there, or was it Oprah chicks?
No, I went by myself, and it stemmed from my internship experience at Harpo to go over there to the school. It's a campus, and it's kind of like a boarding school, 151 girls, 12 and 13 years of age, 7th and 8th grade. And it's a campus. It's a closed campus, so I just did whatever they needed me to do on campus.
If I'd run into you at the airport you left out of, and I was heading to Vegas for a bachelor party, and I was like, where are you heading? Going to Africa to save the kids? Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You don't have a ticket, though?
No, I just, you know what? I left it in my medicine kit.
I'm a surgeon.
A field surgeon.
Oh, goodness.
You know Doctors Without Borders.
Doctors Without Borders. That's me.
We actually invented it.
What's your flight? You got an open seat? Well, we'll talk about the impoverished. We'll talk about how good we have it on the way there.
Yeah, one day there was a sick kid on the other side of the line, and we couldn't help him because there was a border, but Dr. Carolla and I got together.
Busted down the border.
Busted down that border. Hence, and became Doctors Without Borders.
Yes.
And that child lives today in Jersey.
Rachel, are you going to go into journalism? You got a degree in that.
I would love to. You know, I just graduated with my degree in December, and I would love to put my education to practice. Or, you know, who knows, modeling, acting. Sky's the limit. But right now,
what?
I'm just kind of...
Sky is the limit.
I would like you to do journalism and modeling at the same time.
Well, that's what television news is, basically.
No, but I'm talking about hitting the catwalk and delivering the news. You know what I mean? I mean, you just strut
that's
down, you
take.
Do the walk, you do the take, you flip your hair, and you strut back as you go into commercial. Attitude? Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
Let's see it.
This morning in the news, it seems that John Lewis is headed home and will now be
heading down.
Nice strut. Real sexy.
Right, really. I mean, there's been a lot of models turned actress or model turned whatever, but you'll be the first one who modeled, did not give up the modeling, physically was modeling. We got the new line from Dolce & Gabbana while you're delivering the hurricane news.
Hey, you never know.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Rachel Smith, I will be pulling for you now because...
Me too.
Oh, no. I'm sorry,
not
Rachel.
Pulling to you, you sick bastard.
But also the new face of YMI, which is what I wept in bed alone last night.
And you guys will have to stay tuned. I'm going to be on Miss Universe May 28th
That's
in Mexico City.
What I'm going to be pulling. I mean, tugging. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Rooting. That's right. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be rooting you on May 28th, NBC, Miss Universe. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll settle the Outbook August and April. There are a lot of good guests. We had Kobe. We had Jamie Foxx. We had Ray Liotta. Who won the week? Next on the Adam Carolla Show. Yeah, we're declaring a weekly winner and giving them $500. Still eligible for the $10,000 at the end of the month. We just thought we'd offer a little incentive for people to get in early and often and not sit on their celebrities until the very end of the month. We, in my estimation, it's between Kobe Bryant, Jamie Foxx, and Ray Liotta. All good interviews, all spent, you know, nobody hurried. We had them on the phone. That's a strike, but they were all on the phone, so it's even. Yeah. And nobody hurried off the phone. They sort of spoke until it was time to wrap it up. And they're all pretty candid, and Ray Liotta had a great laugh. I'll tell you what, I am going to make a decision in a few minutes on who should win that $500. Those of you who heard them or didn't just have an opinion on who's the bigger celebrity between Kobe, Jamie, and Ray Liotta, 866-901-ADAM. Give us a call. Help me make my decision. I'm a little bit on the fence here. We'll debate it.
Will it prejudice the jury if we tell them who booked those guests?
Yes. Let's not do that. And I don't even know myself these days who's booking what.
Me
if
either.
It's interns or Mike August or whatever.
Yeah, the only time that became of interest was when there was a debate about who might have done it. Otherwise, right. I have no idea who did it.
And we probably shouldn't. If you're judging an art competition, you shouldn't know that one of the artists has been laid in 5 years, refuses to wear socks, and creeps out every chick within a 100-mile radius of him.
You're talking about Van Gogh, of course.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, yeah, because that makes you a good artist.
You got the go part. As a matter of fact, yes, they call Mike August Van Gogh. Get in a van and go. You're freaking me out. Has been laid in 5 years. Huge manhood, though.
That's right here.
I'm just about done holding on. It's been like a week or something. That's it.
We will give you guys a few moments to call in and weigh in. We will buy ourselves a little time by playing another Crank Yankers. Now, this one from the Crank Yanker Vault never aired. I think this one must have been like a DVD DVD extra. And the reason we're going to play it, it is Snoop Dogg making a call, and Snoop's been all over the news because he just got like 800 hours of community service, so we thought it'd be timely to play Snoop Dogg calling a clothing store.
Because.
Yo, what up? This is Big Snoop Dogg. Can I speak to the manager of the store?
This is the manager. How can I help you?
Hey, what's crackalackin'?
Hi, how are you? This is Dee.
Dee, you know who I am?
Yeah, I know who you are.
I need to come through there and get some clothes.
Okay.
But I want to put you up on a few things, you know, because the clothes are symbolizing a lot of negative things right now, the red clothes and the blue clothes.
Okay.
You know what's up with that, the Bloods and the Crips and all that?
Yeah, I know all about that. All
right, well, we would like for y'all to stop selling the red clothes because the Crips are getting upset, and then we want you to stop selling the blue clothes because the Bloods are getting upset. So we really want y'all to sell, like, some safe colors like white, you know, and clear.
Okay.
Clear.
Because all we really have that's really all red is like a sweatshirt.
It's real negative. We don't need that.
Yeah.
You know what I do, they do. So I'm just trying to do the right thing. Can you feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
Okay. Well, I need to come up there and, you know, basically bring about 15, 16 people with me after y'all close and, you know, pick out a few things to take with me.
Yeah, I could do that for you.
You sound like you look good too, baby.
I do. No, I'm playing.
So what's happening?
Nothing. I don't got any plans.
Oh, you ain't got no plans? Well, tell me what you look like. Run it down to me. Give me the dimensions.
I don't know what I look like.
No, I'm saying the dimensions. 26, 34, 26. Give me some of them dimensions.
Hold on. Tell me what I look like. Hello?
What's cracking? Who is this?
Christina.
Does she got a big ass?
Yes, she got a big booty.
She does?
She's Puerto Rican and Brazilian.
Hold on. No way.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Dee.
So I can come get both of y'all?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's four of us.
The more, the merrier.
Okay, so how do I know that, like, you're not just somebody that sounds like Snoop Dogg and now I'm getting excited for nothing?
Nah, don't nobody sound like this, baby girl. I'm the one and only.
Okay. You know all about Snoop Dogg. What can I ask him so I know it's him?
How about I just put it through the mail slot? Whatever. Yeah, you know what's happening. It's crack-a-lacking. For shizzle, dizzle.
Okay, it's Snoop Dogg. Okay,
it's me.
Okay,
I mean, goddamn, what y'all going to do? Y'all think this is Jeopardy or something? Y'all coming up with all kind of off-the-wall questions.
Cool. I just want to make sure because, you know, I want no perpetrators.
Well, I want to make sure them. I want to make sure you look good and y'all look good. Y'all could be some booger bears up there, 300-pound big fat bitches. I'm trying to make sure y'all look good, too.
Just come up here then, and I guess we'll see.
Now, check it out. I need to ask you one question before I jump off the line with you, sweetie.
Okay.
You like tapes or CDs?
Do I like tapes and CDs?
CDs?
Yeah.
Well, CDs n***s in your mother.
Okay. So what was that for?
That's me being real, baby girl. I'm up out here. This is Big Snoopy D.O. Double Jizzle for Shizzle Dizzle. It's been real, baby girl. Holla.
Wow.
It was funny sitting in a room with Snoop holding up on dry erase boards for Shizzle Dizzle with, you know, five Z's.
He knows how to do it, though. He knows how to be. He's got his character down.
He's got his rap. Well, that's why he's a rap artist, buddy. All right, so Outbook. I don't know why that reminded me, but once when I called a radio station, you do think you've arrived when someone says, is this the real Adam Carolla? Is this the real Danny Bonaducci? Is this the real Snoop Dogg? You know you've arrived when somebody says, is this the real? And I never felt better because they were talking. I was listening to the Phil Hendry show, and they were talking about the Man Show or something, saying, best show on TV or something. I was just driving, and I just want to call in and say thanks a lot. And the producer picked up the phone, or the phone screen, or whatever the version of Kyle was, although I'm sure a lot lighter, a lot less hairy, and probably smelled better. But said, is that touchy? I said, hi, this is Adam Carolla. He said, is this the real Adam Carolla? I said, yeah. Really? I said, yeah. How do I know it's the real Adam Carolla? Ask me any question you like. And I felt pretty good about myself. Wow. And then the person went, just don't screw me, man. I'll put you on. Then all of a sudden, I felt like a C-lister again. I realized he had no Adam Carolla information.
I get it when I try and order pizza. I guess because of the pipes that, you know, it's a distinct voice, so somebody could do an impression. It's like, I'm like a pizza. This is the Danny Bonaducci.
We have a recording of that. Hi, it's Giuseppe's Pizza. Large pan, extra cheese, half olive, half anchovy. Uh-huh. And, would you like to salve at that? I see. All right. Well, garbanzo bean, it's a legume. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. I've said too much. You going to be picking that up, or you want us to drop it by? Oh, in the basement. What happened? Okay. So, is Gretchen single, or...? You're right, I'm sorry, Mr. Bonaducci. That was way out of line.
I was going to say Danny's turning red, but...
You know what Gretchen said to me the other day? I told her, if we're going to have this living arrangement, that's going to be okay. I can do it, but you cannot have a man in this house as long as I own it, as long as I, you know, my brain thought this
what
house.
What kind of guy would, no guy would want to go in that house.
No, that's what she said. She said, and this is when I knew she believed me and understood me. She said, Danny, do you think that if I liked enough a guy enough to go out on a date with him, I'd put him in that kind of physical danger?
And when Gretchen starts dating.
Not only that.
No, you know
but
what?
The 9-foot oil of Danny nude on the bearskin rug right at the foot of the bed.
It's would only be 5 foot enough. 6 because it would be the real me.
Life size.
Yeah, I would. Kidding.
You imagine the poor bastard that dates my ex-wife?
I'll pick you up at the house.
Oh, no. Meet me down the street.
Jeff?
Yeah.
You're going to weigh in on the Outbook August in April?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to have to go with Jamie Foxx on that one.
Mm-hmm. So your vote is for Jamie Foxx. Yeah, everything in this situation, as we talked about, $500 to give away, everything in this situation is sort of a push. Normally, it's like, well, Jamie Foxx is pretty good, but that was a phoner, and Ray Liotta came in person, so he gets extra points for doing that. But everyone who's in the top three of this week was a phoner,
yep.
Did do a good job, yep. Was on the phone for like 10 minutes before I said we got to go. So everyone is sort of, and they're all forthcoming and answered the questions and all that stuff. So it's pretty much about who is the bigger celebrity. Steve, yes.
I don't know that that's completely true. In my head, there is a celebrity who just slightly out-delivered another. In my head. There is one who slightly, since they all have a strike, that's the same thing as not having any strikes. So it's all up to their performance, I think.
I would say
our performance. How good were we?
I would say Kobe was a little bit lower on the deliverance part because he was probably on a cell phone traveling through someone's car or in someone's car or his own. And then also, I think Jamie Foxx probably was the best. Yeah. Although Ray Liotta was laughing
was
like a madman the whole time.
Although Jamie Foxx called me brilliant 3 times.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do.
Steve?
Yeah.
How say you?
I say Ray Liotta.
Why?
Because his normal character is not what he portrayed on your interview. I thought he was funny. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a little bit, he laughed all the time, and his movies are not like that. So I think he stepped out a little bit more than the other one.
I like that, Steve. That's a very good point. Yeah. He was very animated.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He's normally not. He wasn't. He, in his movie characters are real serious and the mobsters and the crazy guys.
All you're doing is calling him a good actor. That doesn't make any difference. You know, that the fact that he's a nice guy just makes him a good actor. So you're voting for him as a better movie star, not a better guest.
No, his guest, the things he did were way different than what he's portrayed on screen. Where Jamie Foxx was funny, and he's normally funny, and so that's why I voted for him. And okay. I think Ray Liotta's a little bit, you know, he's been around a lot longer. Jamie Foxx is more of a new phenomenon.
Yeah. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
How do you feel about Kobe Bryant?
Kobe was okay. I mean, but, you know, he did a static interview. You know, he answered questions. And
I think it's between Ray and Jamie. And I just got an email from a CBS executive saying we had to give it to a black guy this week. So this is uncomfortable. Oh, wait a minute. I also said not to talk about it on the air. damn. All right.
The good news is you're fired.
I was talking to a friend of mine who, right after Imus got fired, said, you realize you will be fired this way, too, one day soon. And I said, of course, that's what will happen to everyone who speaks their mind on the radio. So I understand it's coming. I think I think Jamie Foxx is going to have to be the winner for this week.
I'm down with that.
You good with that?
I'm down with that.
Are you curious who booked Jamie Foxx?
Yes. Who is going to get the
champagne?
Who's
going to
get the $500? And Jamie Foxx, legitimate contender for winner of the month.
He was a great interview. Yes. He's a huge star and he won an Oscar.
Right.
Well, Mike August booked Ray Liotta.
Mm-hmm.
Intern David booked Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. And producer Angie.
Please let it be me. Oh.
Booked Jamie Foxx.
So producer Angie, move over, Natural Light. Someone's drinking Sierra Nevada this weekend.
Wow. She can afford the good stuff.
Yeah. Usually it's just... Although it's going to cost more than $500, because that stuff's nearly $8 a sixer.
Yes. Bail money.
And bail money. FU money, booze money, bail money, all the money you need for a good weekend.
Well, Mike August losing his first week.
All right, so producer Angie's going to get the 500 this week in the Outbook August in April, unless there's an hour in the polls have not closed yet, right? There's about an hour and 25 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
If somebody steps up, they can steal away that $500 from producer Angie.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Taking the booze right out of her mouth.
That's right. Or
oh
she calls
God.
It medicine. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Joel McHale from The Soup on E! I think we have a clip. That was Angie during our last remote. Take a quick break. Be back with Joel McHale. He'll tell you what that was next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Come on. I'm sorry. Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
From E's The Soup, Joel McHale on the Adam Carolla Show.
One of my favorites, Joel McHale.
Is my voice too high in that promo?
No.
It's a casting decision.
Oh, that was you?
Who'd you think it was?
I thought it was your publicist or hairdresser.
Sister?
Sister? Or all three? No. Joel McHale here from the E! Soup. He's very bitter about being on E!
No!
No. Seacrest, wherever he goes in that building.
What's Ryan like, Joel? What's he like? What's he doing? What does he do? How busy is he?
And that's at home. Imagine when he gets out in the street, the questions about Seacrest. Well, Joel McHale is here representing E! The Soup. I must say, I catch it. I have not seen every installment, but I've seen most of them, and it is well written and even better executed by Joel McHale.
There's some things they do better than others. I was fixing my
what am I bad at?
It's not you unless you wrote it or acted in it. Your most recent parody of My Life's Disasters. Mm-hmm. I looked at it because somebody put it on my MySpace page because I don't know how.
Right.
And the guy playing me could not be uglier or suck more.
Who's that guy?
Lee Farber, the writer.
Is that who it is?
He will be so happy. You will be happy to know he is the exact same height.
As what?
As you.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that we match that up.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, but the glued pubic hair to his face that was dyed red was a little throwing.
And the last guy where you put the shoes on his knees and had him waddle around like Dorf was an insult and an attack.
Thank you, Mr. Carolla. I appreciate
but our Dorf guy was taller. And that's why we got rid of him and had to bring Lee in.
I can imagine the casting call. We either need a guy who's under 5'8", who's legitimately short, or a guy who's over 6'9", to get on his knees and do the door thing. Either way.
And you have to be able to growl and drool through every little bit.
Well, you will be on the show tonight.
Am I on tonight?
Yeah, you are on tonight.
Would it have anything to do with my imparting disaster?
What disaster?
You bitch.
I'm sure you handle it respectfully.
Oh,
shut up.
We do the quote of, I don't want a divorce, this sucks ass. We have that quote.
Yeah. So that'll be on tonight.
Yeah, that'll be
and
on tonight.
What else? What other clips have you pulled
well,
for us?
Well, let's start out with a quick one from Dancing with the Stars. Bruno, he knows how to judge. I'm sorry.
Dion, you started like Mr. McDreamy, but sometime you went into Mr. McStiffy.
Mr. McStiffy.
I saw that. And then Carrie Aninaba had to explain why the audience was making an audible gasp. He didn't get that was like a, you know.
When, oh no.
Oh no, that's not, no, how can,
no.
We just got, oh, why? Oh.
He's British.
That's right. It's what they call cigarettes there.
Let's play
the
a clip.
Good news is you're fired.
Let's play a clip that won't get us into trouble. This is Girls Next Door, and the key word here is balls.
Mm-hmm. After snowboarding for those couple days and going balls to the walls, I felt the balls bad. To the wall.
That show is beating us.
Huh?
Oh, no. That's the best rated show on E, if I'm not
mistaken. Highest rated show.
Highest rated show.
Is the wall what she refers to? Is the wall what she calls her chin? I'm just wondering.
Oh, that's what's rusty. Yeah.
Well, who are you more angry at, those Girls Next Door or Ryan Seacrest?
Ooh, well, I'm not angry. I just, it's a kind of a bitter admiring.
Okay.
I'm like, they're doing so much better.
Well, a pox on them.
Yeah, well, I know that at the end of the day, she has to slink into Hef's bedroom and watch that smoking jacket slowly come off his shoulders, and then she has to go to work.
Hopefully
she gets the first shift.
Can you imagine the rock, paper, scissor game that goes on in the hallway?
Two out of three?
Sorry, rules are rules. Now get in there and start sucking.
I don't want first shifts. Come on.
You're in. Come on, I had rock. That's sloppy seconds. I'll keep going. I know, it's funny. Whenever you talk to him, you're like, so who has to sleep with you? What do you mean? It's an honor.
Right. Sleep with your great grandpa.
All right.
There. Don Imus was fired. Jesse Jackson decided to go on television and talk about it. So here's what he had to say.
These men and women give this show a political credibility. Therefore, it must be judged by a higher standard even than Shock Jock.
What is his first language?
Please
tell me he's from somewhere other
than here. I think he's
Danish.
And now this is the rebuttal from Cammy from Laguna Beach.
I called Nikki before I asked her if she told Tyler that, and she's like, and then Tyler went and told me who, and then she's like, and I talked to Tyler, and Tyler said Nikki told me.
So there you go.
Well,
you know what, though?
Huh?
What's her name?
Cammy.
A chick named Cammy that doesn't have to inhale for that much time and just keep talking, you got to admire her.
Yeah.
That's so ghetto.
I know. That it is funny when hot chicks, and this is something.
Are you talking about Jesse Jackson?
It seems to affect blowhard civil rights leaders and hot chicks at the same time, which they take a huge gulp of air, like they're going for some free diving competition, and then they talk until they turn purple, and then they take a new. You have to modulate. You have to regulate. No, that's right.
Just space it out.
Chicks are funny when they go. You know, Cammy thinks you're all that because you got a cool ass, but I just have a convertible weather, and they just
that, you know what, that allows the other blowhard chick to breathe in while she's talking.
They go and shift.
So they go like, it's kind of like circular breathing that Kenny G does.
Yeah.
Where you can just keep the note going the whole time. See?
He'd be popular.
Super Miss
in the
Kenny
joint.
G reference.
Thank you. The audience just turned off there. All right. Pussycat Dolls. I know that, Adam, you don't miss an episode, so you're going to know what this is. And this is the greatest use of a musical sting ever.
Melissa, are you wearing your boob pads? You're not.
No.
How many times do I have to tell you to wear your boob pads?
Second greatest musical sting.
Hold on, Danny. Did you bring your bedazzler?
I did. Right there.
What? No.
Boob pads.
It's in the shop. But I know. Oh.
We've discussed this before, Bonaducci.
All right. Do you guys know who Ashton Kutcher is?
Yes.
Sure.
Who? Well, my favorite part of Punk'd is the opening monologue, because it makes me angry.
This movie featured a woman that I'm familiar with that goes by the name of Demi Moore. This movie was called Indecent Proposal. I don't really know what it was about because my parents wouldn't let me watch because I wasn't old enough. I think, like, the guy from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid want to have sex with my wife. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You know, I
That's
was
every
so
show.
I was so sure he was going to go away about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, there's those people where it's like, well, I've had my run-in with Gwen Stefani many years ago when she was with No Doubt, but I did realize she's a bona fide talent. She's driven and hardworking, beautiful. Probably
she's
would
be
on the scene for a while. But Kutcher was one of those guys I just swore was going to go away. There's a handful of these guys where it's like, shouldn't you be hanging out with David Faustino somewhere, talking about days of yore, going way back to the late 90s to recapture your youth? Yes. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Shouldn't Kutcher be there?
He married into royalty.
Apparently not, though. He's the EP of Beauty and the Geek. He's the EP of Punk'd. Apparently not.
He's around forever.
Yeah,
I know.
And he's actually kind of a decent actor. I saw that Guardian thing with
Kevin
Costner.
He's also a nice guy.
But him being the executive producer of those shows is like thinking George Foreman makes the grills. I think his name is just on there.
That's what mine is. I don't know how to
He's not
anything.
In pitch sessions growing
If
ideas,
he
huh?
is, it's, hey, everybody, it's Demi Moore's husband, Ashton Kutcher. All right. I was just praying he would go away.
Somebody asked me, I said, if Gretchen and I are going to stay friends, and I said, yeah. And she said, like, you know, like Bruce and Demi. And I said, oh, no. If I come upstairs and Ashton Kutcher is in my house, you'll be picking up little pieces of them all through the Mojave. Uh-oh. Not that kind of friends.
See, but you would think that, and then you'd fall in love with them, and then you'd be your best friend, and okay, I'll stop.
Well, Joel, why don't you give us a little tease before we go to break?
Well, tease that. Let's just do the first Top Model.
Okay.
And then this will be the tease to the next Top Model.
Ah.
I see my mom, my sister, and my baby, and the first thing that came to my mind is, what the f*** is wrong with my baby's hair?
Finishing school.
The hair issue again, all over the news. We'll take a quick break. Joel McHale here from The Suit on E. We'll finish off that clip and play many others, plus another Crank Yankers call, one of Bertram's best, if I do say so myself, next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Like the drops? Then kick back and enjoy Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on The Adam Carolla Show.
I feel pretty and witty and bi.
I don't listen. I don't listen. I feel pretty and witty and gay.
I hate gay people.
I'm not a pervert, but I'm curious.
Well, I was watching porn at about 140 decibels in the middle of the afternoon. Yes, I was supposed to be at work. Yes, my dad's he's a Baptist minister. He's prominent in the town.
I got an idea. Let's go to Disneyland and then not ride the rides.
You want a party? I got my own ride. I got my own place. I got my own stash.
Tony, can you rape a hooker?
Can I?
Show's flailing. The wheels are coming off the wagon.
Oh, my God. Get it together. You're just a drunk. Who cares he didn't hug you enough? Shut up.
Hey, aren't you the pedophile who killed himself? No, that was my son.
Jeez. When it comes to enticing pedophiles, I just don't know the best way.
Hey, Dillweed, what'd you do? Slam too many drugs last week, Emma?
Danny, all these stories can't be true.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. So look how smart I am. I'm going to skip ahead. Bald Brian's B-sides, the ones that were not used at the end of the show when he does his final drop of the day. Well, someone who's not a B-side, he is a C-side, if there is one.
Thank you.
No, he's an A-side. He's an A-hole. Wait a minute. He's Joel McHale.
Every time you start a compliment, it ends up being an insult.
I don't know how he does it.
You know what? You're so right, and F you.
What, Steve?
See, there it goes again.
Watch right. It's like my dad.
Oh, no. You're like a brother to me, Joel McHale. I'm a huge fan of yours. E, the soup. We have a couple more clips to get to. But first, as promised, because it's Friday and because Crank Yankers back on MTV2, or I should say on MTV2 and back on the air, all new episodes tonight, we'll dig into the vaults and play a good one from Mr. Burcham. I guess calling about getting his kid into some Pee Wee or Pop Warner football.
This is Troy.
Troy, my name's Burcham.
Yeah.
I'd like to coach some Pop Warner football.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now we're all filled up with that. We've already started. We're already going to the season, so.
Got a kid who wants to play some ball, too.
Call me next, like I said, in March or so.
He's 12 years old. He's a big boy, though.
I don't care how big he is. We don't play Pop Warner rules here.
What rules did we play?
I got my own rules here, buddy.
Oh, really?
So we don't use the weight limits. We got my own weight limits.
I like your style.
Yeah, we got a little different weight limits.
I got a son. He's 11 and a half. He's almost 250 pounds.
Yeah, it's a big kid.
He's a big boy.
Uh-huh.
This kid will sit down and eat 9-10 Lunchables in one sitting.
That's a big kid.
Oh, he's a big boy. Takes after his mother.
So he'll be a sixth grader coming up next year?
He's going to be going into the sixth grade. I held him back a year so I could get his playing weight up.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a big kid, and you know what? I taught him well.
I guess so.
He knows all the moves. Spearing, blindsiding, forearm shiver. He does it all. He'll take a kid's head off. Oh, yeah. I seen him hit the punter 20 minutes after the guy punted the ball. I mean, the kid was on the sideline. He went after him. Oh, man, when this kid goes up the middle, he goes in hell-bent for re-election.
Heck of a kid.
And I tell you, I taught the kid well.
I guess so.
I told him, you get blown out of that middle, you're getting blown out like crap through a goose.
I hear you.
Yeah. I tell you, they call it Pop Warner football. You know why? Because you Pop warned you if you get hurt. That's what I tell
him. Nice.
You got it.
Yeah, kid's tough. Big kid, needs a special helmet.
We'll see what we got, buddy.
First year he played, I couldn't find one big enough. We had to modify a Coleman cooler.
You put a Coleman cooler on his
head? Well, not the full-sizer. Not the one you put trout in, but the six-pack one.
Oh, the six-pack Coleman cooler?
Yeah. I put it in the oven, I heat it up, and I molded it around his head.
You put a cooler in the oven and heat it up, put it on his head? Well,
you don't heat it up until it starts bubbling. You just warm it up so the plastic becomes pliable, and then you can pull it on his head, and if you hit it with the hose, it'll freeze in whatever position it was.
Okay, that's crazy.
Worked out good, except for the ear holes got screwed up and he got an infection.
Uh-huh.
I call him the Minister of Defense.
I got you, buddy.
I train my kids, they're like screaming warriors.
I got you, buddy. Let me get it. I got a call coming, buddy.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, no weight limits, right?
Right on, brother.
All righty.
Later.
Wow.
Sure, someone was calling on the other line.
All right, okay, got another call.
I don't know, he sounded into it to me. I like
any father describes their kid as crap through a goose.
I was recalling all the great speeches I've got from Pop Warner football coaches over the years who tell a group of 9-year-olds, tying's like kissing your sister, which was bizarre, and had Mr. Fitzgerald explain to us that we were getting blown out like crap through a tin horn at age 8. It was a different time. All right. Well, speaking of time, we're going to move along, and Joel McHale has more clips.
All right.
Store.
Well,
yes.
Hopefully Top Model can hold a candle. That would be a small candle to that. This is your favorite and my favorite, Tyra Banks. She is asking a model to stand and deliver.
Mm-hmm. Say something to me that you mean and feel right now that is so clear and eloquent to prove to these people behind me that you can speak.
I will definitely prove myself to be all that you believe I am.
Today is a fanny party!
Did you hear that girl's voice?
Yes, I did. Are you kidding? I invented that girl's voice.
She's got wood.
Wait a second. Didn't Tyra talk to her more about modeling?
Yeah.
Not fast enough.
Danny talked to her, man. What? I got to walk with a book on my head? I see.
You
yes,
can actually have to
walk.
Gain weight, Danny. Is that right?
Plus size. Say there's money in it.
I like plus size.
Are you a zero or a...
The thing about plus size is...
Yeah, to be plus size is a two.
Everything can be plus size but their head. Their head has to be regular size. Yeah. Their ass gets big, so but their head is nice. And
you're telling me if the best body you ever saw in your whole life on a woman was attached to a hydrocephalic, mm-hmm. you'd say no?
Just a mammoth head.
Just...
Mammoth bucket head.
Yeah.
I think it would make it really scary.
Well, you explained earlier that you break books into two parts.
Yes.
So that, if you are going to average them, the head was a zero and the body was a 10. You'd
Well, I rarely rip off any moves from my buddy Oswaldo, but he makes great use of the pillow on occasion in the bedroom. I think that's, I would have to take a page out of his book.
Under my current circumstances, the way I feel, I split women into two parts as well, but I'm using a chainsaw currently.
So Adam smothers them with the pillow and Danny.
You might give me any property? Here you go.
Smother them with love and a throw
pillow.
Yeah. In that order.
What else we got?
All right, here it is. This is it. Brooke, Real World does an incredible job of recruiting insane women.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke is, they are really hitting their stride now.
Now, which one is Brooke?
She has dark hair, and she wears short shorts and tank tops all the time.
And
she freaked out a couple of shows
ago. Fake boobs. And,
now she has fake boobs.
Too much eye shadow.
Yes, way too much eye makeup.
Right.
She looks like a goth sorority girl, kind of.
Look, I've said many times, I love the Real World, but they dropped the ball by not having the prudish blonde who everyone's trying to corrupt.
Yeah.
They have three crazy dark-haired chicks that are sluts. Mm-hmm. And it's good watching, but you need that one who doesn't want to do the shot, who doesn't want to go out into the hot tub with the boys, who won't take her top off, and then somewhere she gets convinced to do it, and then it's exciting.
Right.
Or at least get a blonde, a redhead, and a brunette, so we don't have to go which one is that all the time.
Well, the last one did have a blonde, but she was truly disturbed, so we couldn't make as much fun of her, because she had a lot of eating issues, so we couldn't really just let her have it.
Right.
But Brooke is in kind of her own league, and she is... She's upset about something, which she will tell you at the end of the clip, but it's a pretty big deal, so listen to her. Destroying the house now. She's alone, by the way.
What's going on? Basically... I talked to Davis.
What did you talk to him about? Everything he said?
He told me that he thinks that I have a double chin.
She was nowhere even near him when he said this, and it got back to her, and she got back to the house.
I am going to force my kids to watch reality TV to explain to them this is how not to act, meaning... These people, and you see it very clearly and very early and often, they come into a group of strangers, they immediately alienate themselves, they insult people, they attack people, and then they make the phone call to their mom saying, everyone hates me, I don't know why, I don't know why these people are picking on me, I don't know why they have it out for me, when 10 minutes earlier they were storming through the house, yelling at everyone and throwing a tantrum. This sort of self-fulfilling prophecy where you get dropped off on an island or in a house or an America's Top Model or whatever you are, draw all the attention to yourself, piss off and alienate everyone around you, and then cry and moan that you become a victim again seems to be an epidemic.
Yeah, and but then mommy is calling the producers and asking why they put their child with such horrible people.
Right, it's up to the moms.
I love that part.
It's up to the moms to yell at their kids.
Yes, this is Renee on Top Model. And the weird thing about Top Model this year is that three of them have children, and they knew they had kids when they offered to be, and they tried to get on Top Model, and now they cry because they miss their babies.
It's like you elected to be on this. It wasn't a draft.
It's very strange.
Well, between modeling in a bikini and putting hot chicks on TV shows, Tyra Banks is really doing the Lord's work. And by the way, somebody has to get a hold of Tyra Banks because this blowhardom It's like a disease. It's like diabetes. Mm-hmm. It gets worse.
So
it doesn't
stop
cure
it
itself. She's going to lose a leg. I mean, somebody has to intervene now because this is a 31-year-old Tyra Banks who's
right.
old,
yeah.
who, by the way, was not a colossal blowhard when she was 25.
Right, right.
Go
right.
back. Go back to 99 or 2000. You remember Tyra Banks? Not a mammoth blowhard, maybe a little bit of a diva, not even near blowhard. She has become a massive blowhard in the last 6 or 7 years. Now, let's fast forward to when she's 55.
That's,
she will be uber colossal, unstoppable
be,
blowhard.
Gore should do a documentary on her.
We must stop
right.
blowhard warming.
Al Gore. I mean,
Al Gore, right, because we won't be able to stem the tide. Our kids are going to have to listen.
They're going
to
deal with it.
To right. Tyra Banks.
They will be paying taxes forever just to stop blowhards.
That's right.
And then I really will be a Partridge in Pain.
But I feel like there's other countries that are responsible, and there's nothing we can do about them, but I guess if we set an example.
Treaties.
China needs to step up and stop Tyra.
Well, I think you're right. It's a progressive illness. And if we
blow
don't stop it now.
They can blow satellites out of the air now, so maybe
And look,
possible.
We're not going to be around forever, and we're not going to have to deal with Tyra, but
Yeah,
children.
But your great-grandkids will.
Right.
Yeah.
What about them? What about the future?
Granny panty party.
All right.
We have to make a decision between global warming and Tyra.
I'm going stop Tyra. We need to take a break. Joel McHale, The Soup
Thank
on
you.
E
10
tonight,
o'clock.
10 o'clock, and rerun quite
800
often.
100 times.
As well. Joel.
Balls.
God bless you, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news, and we'll bring in favorite comedian Dom Arrera. Dom will come in, sit in with the news, tell us what's new with him. Tease.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about Imus and also Courtney Love. How did she lose all that weight?
News.
Staples.
And Dom next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee knows how to deal with life's inevitable failures. In the rare instance when this employee performs below par, he takes the situation and learns from it. This employee's ability to persevere is nothing short of heroic. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Well, I shocked on that one.
That's amazing.
Never gets old.
The fact that I kept coming to work through all my troubles and trials and tribulations, kept delivering, did my job. And maybe this time, just this time, but nobody missed it by 2 votes.
Wrong!
Both of them Carollas.
You had problems? You had problems in the past? I never knew that.
Not this Bonaduce.
Straight as an arrow.
Yeah, you're thinking of the kid who played the drums in the Partridge Family.
My favorite.
And that other
my
guy.
My favorite Partridge.
Yeah.
Always was, always will be. I'm not saying that to stroke you. I see Danny in the hall. He goes, hey, Dom, how you doing? He says, man, I told these guys you were brilliant. Don't let me down. It's a nice endorsement.
Well,
to
you left off where he threatened to kill you.
Oh, well, that was just now.
Dom, if Danny killed Dom, it would be the day the comedy died.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's how it would go
down.
More
pressure.
He's complimenting both of us. You'd be dead, I'd be incarcerated, there'd be no more comedy left in the world.
It'd be one of those things, too, where we wouldn't even talk about Dom Arrera dying on this date. It'd be known as 4/13.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
He's that important to comedy. Dom Arrera, everybody, at the Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach, Friday and Saturday. You want me to give the ticket number out for you, Dom?
You got it?
Yeah, 310-372-1193.
You the man. You
it is
main
home. Anything for you, Dom,
What's
baby.
What's the story in the IMUS opening now? Is there any chance of me getting a shot at that?
Mm. I hear you're the front runner.
I make a lot of racial slurs.
I'm Please a slow don't meister. Do it here. I need a job.
No, don't worry about it.
We're going to tease you up with Bonaduce's old partner, Jamie, and Dr. Drew.
Just yesterday, I sneezed. I went, and they were positive. I called Teresa a Jew, and they came in and gave me a big, they gave me a big note. We're all on pins and needles.
Yeah, everyone.
I'm just on needles.
Yeah, I don't. You know, that's an interesting story because I didn't look at Dom. I mean, I should say Imus being fired as an opportunity. I just looked at it as an opportunity for me to get fired shortly thereafter.
I heard you say that on the way here.
They were cleaning house, but there is an opening in New York folks.
Yeah. And not to mention on MSNBC in the mornings.
Mm. Oh, that's a lot of exposure.
Who was on MSNBC last night?
Although,
can I tell you, Scarborough has me on all the time and blatantly sucked up the Corolla last night.
Well,
on the air.
Now, Scarborough's the guy whose eyes look like two mini vaginas, right?
Scarborough.
Is that
mini
the guy?
To you.
He has a show on MSNBC.
Oh.
He's good. Yes. He was really good.
I can tell you're a big fan. Dom, you're going to hang out with us whilst T does the news, and
I
you can jump in.
I'd love to watch her read.
Crack wise, please. Go ahead, T. What's in the news?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Did we mention that Don Imus has been let go both from MSNBC and now from CBS Radio?
What?
Yes. He should not have called the girls from Rutgers nappy-headed hoes if he wanted to keep his job. The girls from the NCAA basketball team at Rutgers, they appeared on Oprah yesterday. And Oprah asked them if this incident had robbed them of their moment. And this is one of the players responding. Her name is Essence Carson.
The captain.
We came back from Cleveland hoping to, you know, be embraced with warm hearts and just that appreciation. And as soon as that moment seemed like it was at its peak, it seemed like the world came down on us to be the focal point of such a remark. And, you know, it's just so sad because no one actually pays attention who actually won the game. He didn't only steal from us, he actually stole from, you know, a grateful team like Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah.
Who won the game.
Right. Nice. Giving props to the team that actually won, which I thought was very gracious.
Yeah, I would argue that Tennessee beating them by double digits helped the robbing process in terms of the celebration that was going to take place after you lost by double digits in the championship. And I do feel sorry for Tennessee, who's a real victim here. I'm sorry.
Except they've got Miss USA.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she did come from there. But I swear 6 months from now and then forever past that, everyone's going to say who won the 07 women's NCAA, and it'll be Rutgers.
I am going to watch them play next year, though.
It is.
I'm interested in seeing
them. Well, by the way, it's a young team. I think there are five freshmen.
Right, and there were no upperclassmen, and the first girl was really hot.
Oh, really?
Did you see her?
Essence,
no.
The one
the white chick.
Oh, you say
you got to pick up. Well, no, I mean, there were two white girls, and the rest of them were black girls.
Right. You like the white one?
I like the first one, yeah.
Do you like Oprah?
I love Oprah.
Oh, well, I remember the name of the first white chick. Zero playing time?
No.
Next to the other white chick.
Jenny Benchwarmer. Yeah.
Jenny Benchwarmer.
That's right. Jenny Benchwarmer.
Six man. Oprah yesterday had
eight chick.
I've been on Oprah too, you know.
Have you?
Yeah, many times.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the girls from Rutgers were on.
I got credit.
You go on Oprah because you're funny? You just go on Oprah because you're a comedian? I've never seen Oprah.
A couple of times. One time I went on to do, we did therapy, comedy therapy, and I had there was a woman who had a fear of spaghetti, and I had to coax her through the fear, and you know, with some kind of comic therapy. And other times, I did stand up on air a couple times.
She was nice to you.
Very nice. Yeah.
I've done Oprah twice, and both times it was because I was under indictment.
Really?
I had to sit next to Dana Plato until she gave me the courtesy of dying so I could do them on my own.
Did you have people crying and talk about addiction and stuff?
Yeah, but not me.
Oh, okay.
I said I had a party and they gave me my own radio show.
Tom, it's more of a usual show.
I want to apologize because I know what it's like when people ask curious questions over and over again and it eventually turns insulting. I've done Oprah a bunch of times.
You
have? Yeah. Did you go to high school with her?
You know, I see him on The Tonight Show, not Oprah. I never saw him.
You mean The Tonight Show
Oprah.
With Jay Leno?
Yeah.
I love when they say that with Jay Leno, as if we didn't know Carson was gone by now.
Well, it's only been 26 years.
Right.
Well, we were talking earlier about Tyra Banks and the grave danger we all face when she becomes even more of a blowhard. And I assume you base this on what's happened to Oprah. Now, here she is signing off and thanking the Rutgers players and coach for talking to her via satellite. And here's Oprah quoting another blowhard, both of whom I respect greatly.
Well, I say again, I want to borrow a line from Maya Angelou, who is a personal mentor of mine, and I know you all also feel the same way about her. And she has said this many times, and I say this to you on behalf of myself and every woman that I know. You make me proud to spell my name W-O-M-A-N.
Oh, man. Just sapperoonie.
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
Okay, now here's another weird twist in the story. Not WOMN, but SUV. That is what crashed last night. Governor of New Jersey.
He had a bad week, too.
Yes, he was about to host this sorry party over there at the mansion between the Rutgers athletes and Don Imus when his SUV got in a collision, and it was fairly serious. It was on the Garden State Parkway. The governor broke his leg, six ribs, his sternum. He fractured a vertebrae.
Is he okay?
Well, he's he didn't suffer brain damage.
Playing hoops tonight.
Other
than that, he's great.
Other than that, was the meeting.
Yeah. It's a weird turn of events.
Oh boy!
So they still met, but he was not there.
Could Imus grovel anymore this week? Imagine all that groveling, and he lost the gig.
I know. It's
you should get the pick.
It's what I say to all cops: either give me the ticket or the lecture. Yeah. Don't get both. I will sit here and nod and yes sir, no sir, and I'll take it right up the poop chute if. You're not going to write me a ticket. But what I don't want is a 10-minute lecture about what I was doing and how dangerous it was to be bookended with a ticket handed to me.
And I got a guy pulled me over for not having a front license plate on a brand new Lexus.
Oh.
And you know what I said to him? I said, don't you have something like crime stopping to do? I said, what do you guys do? He said, well, it's my boss. I said, tell your boss to put it. And there could be like kidnap victims riding by snorting coke and you're pulling me over for this. I said, look at me. I'm 26 years old. Look at me. I look terrible.
Well, there's the key. Leave. I had a friend who said leave the dealer plates on it as long as possible because I was driving through the People's Republic of Santa Monica yesterday. Actually, it was 3 days ago. I was driving through Santa Monica, and I saw a traffic cop on a bike look at me, stare at me, see I had no front license plate, whip his bike around to write, yet another chicken ass ticket.
Yeah.
And when he whipped around, he saw that I had the dealer plate in the back, which meant I didn't need to have the front plate because the front plate wouldn't have been a plate. It would have been a cardboard dealer plate. Yeah, so he whipped around to write me a chicken ass ticket and he lost his nerve because I had the dealer plate on. I received the regular plates. They're in the trunk. They're in the trunk of the car. Sure. I'm not putting them on until I get pulled over. And I suggest everyone within the sound of my voice does that as well. It's a smart move.
I get out of a ticket once on Laurel by actually punching and cursing my own car.
Nice.
The guy, I go, you mother, and I'm like kicking the car and punching it. And the guy went like this. Like he thought I was going to have a heart attack. He goes, man, it's okay. You know, just watch the sign next time.
That's a good idea.
And I didn't say anything disrespectful to him, and I'm going, I'm such a stupid mama. Bang, and I'm banging the car, kicking it.
Low self-esteem will get you out of a ticket.
Yeah, speaking of low self-esteem, Courtney Love is in the news, although she's been looking amazing lately. I don't know if you've seen pictures of her, but she looks quite fit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a controversy. The New York Post reported yesterday that her new look is due to gastric band surgery. Ew. That's where they tighten a belt-like device around your stomach and block it off so you can't jam as much food in there. The Post said, quote, she's telling people she got the gastric band surgery. She even said she had to sleep with a towel by her because the surgery makes her vomit all the time, and she's worried she won't be able to make out with anyone because of her breath. Courtney's rep is saying this is not true.
Okay, first of all, if you're barfing all the time after gastric bypass, it's because you're already overeating. So you can put the weight back on. Ask Roseanne Barr.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when you say she had a gastric band in her, I just think she just had some other gnarly punk rock band in her.
Oh, the gastric band. They're playing on Sunset.
Yeah, they've been in her.
I had a funny experience with Courtney Love, which was at the Pam Anderson roast.
Yeah,
where
that's a night out.
All she did was, when she couldn't get attention, she just put her legs in the air.
Right. And the thing that I said when I got up, because she did the same thing, she was drunk, she was sloppy, she was overweight, she was addled, and she was flashing the crowd, and I said, Courtney, it has to be surreal. 5 years ago, you're up on a stage playing with your band Hole, and if you pulled your top up, 50,000 people went nuts. Now you pull your skirt up, and 10,000 people go, holy Christ, God. No!
Stank
no,
it.
I'm eating!
I could be sucked into the vortex.
This would be confusing, because for the last 10 years, people have been going nuts when shot a winger off stage. Now everyone is grossed out, but she's back in shape. She looks good. That's
she
the
does.
Important
now
part.
Now she can do a kip winger on
all
stage.
Right. We need to take, oh, for Christ's sake.
Nice reference.
The band Winger. The lead singer from Winger, everybody. You're lucky I know something.
Kip Winger.
I can't tell whether I love you for knowing that or despise you or love. Both simultaneously. Dom Herrera is in studio.
I think that's a feeling for me almost every day. You run that gamut.
But at least I feel.
Along, Adam?
I think we're doing pretty good.
I think we're doing.
People ask me that all the time. Very well.
The way Adam reacts to me, like right now, if that were completely accurate, is the way most people who will accept me in any way react to me.
Right.
And I really like Adam and admire him. So
anyone who says they love Bonaducci 100% out of the every day is a liar. Yeah. Either scared or a liar or both.
God, you smell like cigarettes and tag. Could you get out of the goddamn room? I expect that and know that and love that about myself.
Actually,
Danny,
I thought of a good time saver for you.
Yeah.
Spray your cigarettes with tag.
There you go.
That way you'd come in here and cough and it would smell like tag.
Wait, you're completely confusing my issues. The tag is because I come right from the gym. The mints are because I smoke so much.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to work it out. Dom Herrera, you're going to hang out with us, right, my brother?
I'd love to. Thanks.
Also, I'm not sure if Sarah Silverman is coming in, calling in this break. Yeah, she is. All right, good. We'll be back with the funniest woman in the world and the funniest guy in the world, Danny Bonaducci and Sarah Silverman. No, Dom Herrera, Sarah Silverman, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And we're back to Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Mrs. Silverman was my mother. She was a bitch. I'm Sarah.
Sarah Silverman is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Sarah's supposed to be popping on about 9:30. Dom Herrera's here. Same person if you've ever seen them together. Can't tell them apart. They're like sisters.
Sarah,
I mean brothers.
And you know, and on a serious note, we have a lot of conflicts in our acts because we're so similar.
You do the same,
We've
man.
We've been bucking heads for a long time. I'd like to straighten a few things out with her now on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Very angry.
You've had a lot of boyfriends. Yeah. You've had... Do you do that whole
bit
about...
Kimmel.
You used to go out with Kimmel. That's pair-on-pair love right there.
You both do
20 minutes on tampons, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's an ugly image, isn't it? Me and Jimmy together. Oh.
Not to me.
Just laying on top of each other, talking, not even making out, just hugging and talking.
You ever seen a magazine called Bear?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, no.
It's about big, hairy men in love.
No, but you did, right?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to be in it when I was a little larger.
Well, it would be disgusting, you and Kimmel going at it, but I got to believe if one of you got pregnant, it'd be the funniest toddler in the world.
I would make him so happy.
Imagine how funny that kid would be. Sarah?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, everybody.
Sarah Silverman's going to be at the Grove at Anaheim this Sunday, April 15th, 8 o'clock. And let me say this.
Yeah, the Anaheim Grove, not the outdoor mall in L.A.
Oh, right. The Anaheim Grove.
I thought you got
Grove.
Like Nordstrom's or something.
Yeah.
Sarah, it's Dom Herrera. How you doing, baby?
Hi. I love Dom Herrera.
Right back
Me
at
too.
You.
You said you hated his guts and he was a pig when I saw you over Easter.
Keep it down.
Oh, that reminds me. Sarah, what happened with the celery in Adam's baby?
You tried to choke, Sonny.
I took up all the string. I gave him a little bit. He loved it.
I didn't tell you that he hacked it up when you got 20 feet away, did I,
no,
Sarah?
No, you told me.
Oh, I did?
You said that I almost choked him and Lynette got mad.
Oh, really? I thought, don't say anything, and then I got drunk and probably went and said something. I'm a horrible parent, and evidently Sarah would make a horrible parent herself because she was feeding my 9-month-old celery, and I thought, I'm the world's worst parent, even I know. You're not supposed to pull celery out of a Bloody Mary and give it to a 9-month-old, but I figured Sarah, she knows what she's doing. She's
First
a chick.
Of all, it wasn't in a Bloody Mary. I took it from the Bloody Mary area in a sack of celery.
See, you have a Bloody Mary area?
String stuff off.
We all do.
You guys have no idea how to parent. You are both right. What you do is you take the celery stalk from the Bloody Mary. You fill it with Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And let the kid use that as a straw to drink a tablespoon of Bloody Mary. You don't let him eat the stringy celery. And the kid goes to sleep for 3 hours.
Something to take the edge off teething, huh? Sarah, I will. I want people to go out and see both our comedians, Dom and Sarah. Sarah is, well, I have seen her in person. I have seen her act in person. And I don't even want to call it an act because it's a more of a theatrical event.
Really?
It's part stand-up, but it's part one-woman show as well. I mean, it's not you up there telling jokes. There's music. There is a slide presentation. There's audio-visual. There's an AV component to it as well.
Yes? I don't know if I'm going to have that part on this thing.
Oh, really?
Maybe now. Jeez.
Yeah, now you got to put a slideshow up. Are you going to do music?
I might do a little music. Yes.
All right. So the point is, it's an event that is not to be missed, and it's at the Grove.
And they close by choking a baby.
Fantastic.
Wait,
that's
Dom's
how Dom opens
that.
His hey. Act. Wait a minute.
I find Sarah very offensive.
Well,
that's why I laugh
Dom
so much at
Dom has one of my favorite all-time jokes.
What is it?
Well, I'm going to butcher it, but he goes, I have a cat. I'm sorry in advance, Dom.
That's okay.
So I'm not good at this.
They're going to tell the child molestation joke.
What? No.
Oh, I was just doing a couple of... Go ahead.
I've got a cat that made a noise I never heard it make in my life. I took it to the vet, and the vet put his finger up my cat's butt, and my cat literally went, wow.
then the doctor was calling me up at 4 o'clock in the morning drunk. Can I see the cat one more time? The cat busy. Let him put him on the phone. Let him decide. No, I just did a couple of your jokes off the air, which I can't do now. But
too filthy.
Yes.
By the way, my wife, because she has zero problems and zero things to think about all day, called me in a heap of tears yesterday, crying because she's going through the internet now, looking for all the manufacturers of pet food that are on the no-fly list because of the yeast poisoning or whatever's going on. Found out that the jerky treats we've been feeding Molly made the banned substance list and was a heap of tears explaining this is a death sentence for Molly, who's, by the way, fine and exhibits no signs of sickness, but still rushing to Molly to the doctor and probably to the tune of $200.
No, it's smart because it's not like a sudden death. It weakens their, like, liver or something like that, not to be a bummer.
Yeah, but Sarah's got a little dog that you love, yes?
Yeah. I like.
Little Ducky, by the way, who I have to blame for getting Molly banned from Kimmel's house on
That's
football
ridiculous.
Sunday.
Is that right,
now,
Sarah?
Hold on a second, Missy. Ooh. Your dog, Ducky, takes a whiz all over Kimmel's house, right?
I'll tell you, well, he does it if other dogs are around because it's like a territory thing. Believe me, I had nothing to do with banning Molly.
No, Molly only whizzes where Ducky whizzes.
I know.
So you see what I mean? It's like Ducky's a bad element. Like my dog Molly's like that. It's like an after school special. And Ducky's going, here, try some pot. Yeah. It'll make you feel good. It'll make you popular with the kids.
Molly is Teresa and Ducky is Danny. You're hanging with the wrong crowd.
Wrong
Teresa's
element.
Mom's saying, you know, you're hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, well, it's like he can't get rid of Duck. So he's got to get rid of, you know, if your kid, it's exactly your same analogy. If your kid makes another kid try pot, the parents are going to kick the other kid out. You can't kick your own kid out.
Right, I understand. He can't get rid of Ducky.
Apology
otherwise,
accepted.
You would cut him off. You would not do something with him that rhymes with duck.
Right.
And once he was cut off, then he would go insane because he's a man of passion. We need to take a break, Sarah.
Yeah.
We have tickets to give away, I do believe.
Oh, my God.
We have three pair tickets to give away to the Grove at Anaheim this Sunday, April 15th, 8 o'clock. Sarah Silverman. Dom, hang out with us.
Break a leg, Sarah.
We'll give away these tickets. I think we'll play one of Sarah's crank yanker calls.
On tonight, right?
Yeah, Hadassah Guberman is her character.
I love that. I love her.
We'll take a quick break. Sarah, God bless you, sweetie.
Okay, thank you very much.
See you soon. Dom, hang out.
Okay.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hi, it's Sarah Silverman. Hi. God, I hate my voice. Hi, it's Sarah. Hi. Whatever. Hi, it's Sarah Silverman. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Outbook August.
Sirens flashing. There's an alert.
That's just in.
Celebrity calling in. Dom Herrera in, by the way. Going to be at the Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach, Friday through Saturday. But first, who's on the hotline?
Wow, you got Dom Herrera?
Yep.
Is this Robin Quivers?
Yes, it is. Hi,
Wow. Wow.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Danny.
Thank you, my dear.
How you doing, Robin?
I'm good.
I'm a big fan of Robin's, not only because of the double D's, but because of the way she's always treated me. You know, going in and doing Stern, it's oftentimes hard to win over his audience and even harder to win over the folks inside the studio. Robin has been nothing but sweet to me.
Yeah,
ever
I'm a big fan, big fan.
Well, you know, what's funny is because I go in the last time to promote Breaking Bonaducci, which Howard claimed every day was his favorite show on television ever. So Robin took the other tact and took to calling me a filthy pig.
Oh, stop it.
Which I actually...
I was questioning some of your parenting. That's all.
Robin, yeah, which parts were you questioning?
You and child services.
Yeah, and hold on. I rarely defend Danny Bonaducci, but what parenting? Yeah. He does no parenting. He doesn't do horrible parenting.
That was my question.
I changed the diaper. It was on my dad, but he was old.
Robin, can I ask you a question? Because we're doing this contest. Who booked you on the Adam Carolla show?
I have no idea. I think it was Adam.
Really? I booked you? Oh, it must have been Mike August.
Yes, it must have been our talent booker.
I booked her. Tell him the truth, Robin.
Well, Robin, are you in Los Angeles now?
Yes, I am. I'm not too far from where you are.
You're out here on business. And Howard must be delighted over the news of Imus being S-canned recently.
Well, we were enjoying the circus, you know, and the firing is just, you know, it's the end of the story. So the circus ends with that. But we were really enjoying, you know, all of the things leading up to.
Well, I have a good question and a serious question for you, because obviously you've been with Stern for so many years and you've seen what he's had to endure from the FCC and other special interest groups after he said the things about whatever J-Lo played, whatever that chick was. Selena. And all that stuff. You guys have essentially done battle for the last 25 years on the radio, but you've also hated Tom Imus. So who are you for here? And to make the plot even thicker, you are a black woman, and that's what he was aiming at. So how do you feel about it? I mean, you have a very unique perspective.
Oh, well, first of all, I could care less why they fired Tom. Whatever they got him for, it's a good thing. but, you know, the comments he made, just, you know, he's supposed to be entertaining people, they just weren't funny. They were completely inappropriate. He was beating up on some people who were actually doing good things in their lives. You know, it's one thing if you say that about some ne'er-do-well, but, you know, some girls who were actually able to get to the championship of, you know, their basketball division, they don't need to be attacked. So right. Why are you bothering?
Not like that Selena who was a drunk and a pedophile.
No.
Was running from the law when she was shot by...
This is one of the problems I have, because every time somebody else, one of the imitators, does something, Howard's name gets
lumped in. Hold
on, that's
us.
Wait, is that us?
When we were talking about Selena, we never attacked Selena. We had no idea who she was. We simply said we didn't like her music.
Well.
And that was right after she had died, and people were incredibly sensitive, so they got upset as if something terrible had been said. Not everyone in the world can like everybody's music.
Right.
Well, it's a matter.
And that was the only comment we ever made.
It's a matter of time equaling comedy. See, I like to make fun of dead people before their body actually hits the floor, and some people think that's too soon.
It's in poor taste. Yes.
Well, again, we weren't trying to be funny at that point. What? We were just commenting, this is her music?
Yeah.
Excuse us
for not embracing ranchero music,
right,
for Christ's sake.
Right, it's just like, she's the Madonna of Latin America. I don't get it.
You know what I like is that Don Imus said, and I guess I get to repeat it now that it's a quote, right? Is that safe?
Sure.
Okay. Don Imus says, nappy-headed hoe, yet Robin Quivers calls him a ne'er-do-well. What a perfect choice of words.
Yes.
Some ne'er-do-well.
And I like
really
the idea
well said.
That you were not offended by his words. You're just offended by him not being funny.
I was offended by Imus being alive.
Robin,
and you can put a word in front of that.
It's debatable whether or not he is alive.
Robin,
I love the fact that he could go after somebody about looks.
Yeah.
And he looks like a witch.
I don't know what that is anymore. What's inside the shirt? Is
oh,
it
my
God.
Well, listen.
What's going on there?
Robin, I said that if anyone misses him on his cable show, just make a big pile of jackets on your bed and put a cowboy hat on it and stare at it.
Absolutely.
He wore 19 jackets. I want
to
tell.
And that's a man who goes to the gym every day. I want you to know.
I want
to
give.
Have a smoothie.
I want to give a little love to Robin, who's going to be out at the Long Beach Grand Prix this weekend. Oh, you doing the celebrity race?
Yeah.
Oh, because I got to tell you, black women are known for their driving, so this isn't, this isn't even going to be close. So you'll be doing the celebrity. I did it about 3 or 4 years ago.
Did you?
Robin,
how'd you do?
I came in third overall, and I had the time of my life.
It has been fun. I cannot tell you how much fun this is.
And when you are going around on that first lap before the green flag drops, and there's 50,000 people there cheering you on, and you're up on the Jumbotron, you are going to get a rush of adrenaline like you've never felt before. You're going to love it.
Well, I hope I remember something from the training. That's what I hope.
It'll all just kick in. Second nature, baby.
We're on Sirius now, and Bubba is the reason I've been pursuing this racing. He's like a race car enthusiast. He's our afternoon guy.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yes, and we have challenged each other to a race, and that's how I got started in this. So I got a very sincere call from him yesterday evening, congratulating me and saying, be good, be safe. I think he really feels responsible for getting me into this death-defying activity.
I got to say, the year I did it, Buzz Aldrin crashed 3 cars. He's 75 years old,
wow.
and he was fine. So,
tell me they've never lost anybody.
No. Good. No, it would have been nice if they could have lost just a handful of celebrities. I'm sure we could all pick a few that could have
won. Please drive safely and good luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Robin.
I'm going to try to do well.
And,
myself well.
Robin, thanks for the nice mentions on the Tribeca Film Festival stuff.
Absolutely. We'll see you there.
We will see you at Tribeca on the 26th of April.
Yeah,
all right, baby. Good driving.
Bye.
Happy motoring. Bye. Robin Quivers, everybody. Dom Herrera here is going to be at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach Friday and Saturday. Quick break. Back to wrap up after this. Well, just enough time to thank those who need to be thanked. Rachel Smith, Miss USA.
Yeah.
She'll do just fine. Miss Universe pageant coming up May 28th. NBC, Joel McHale, The Soup, Fridays. 10 o'clock on E! Dom Herrera. Tonight and tomorrow night at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Sarah Silverman at the Grove in Anaheim. Sunday, 8 o'clock. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.